Mic myself. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Welcome to episode number one of Unfiltered with myself, Chanman V, and Mr. Destiny over here. What's up, Steven?
Hey, what's up, man?
So, new show. I'm like super, super, super thrilled about it and to see how this is going to go tonight. But I figured we would start out just kind of giving people just a little, maybe a little bit background as to why we started the show. And, you know, because for a lot of folks, I think the mixture of me and you is a pretty interesting one. So why don't I start? So it's kind of funny because a lot of the shows I've done in the past, or just my other shows, right, like CTL and Pro Corner, some of the most successful or most intriguing shows have all involved Steven. You know, whether it was the Pro Corner with, you know, involving the whole Legacy of the Void post that you had, or it was the most recent CTL one with Husky and Damaga and, you know, all about the own thing. You know, it's always been really compelling. Steven always has some really, really interesting, you know, interesting thoughts on a lot of the industry news. And even recently, you know, just watching your stream, you know, you had that really, really great conversation the other night about the whole damsel in distress thing. I mean, not the other night, like a few weeks back. I mean, even listening to that was, like, you know, really fascinating. So, you know, in this book that I have, I have like a list of ideas that are esports related that somehow I want to do one of these days, and doing something with you was definitely always on that list. So when you came to me, you know, possibly wanting to do something together, I was like, oh wow, this is like, yeah, of course. so yeah, that's kind of my take on it. What's your take on it, man?
I mean, I get a lot of questions emailed to me. I still do the answering email things, although I'm ridiculously far behind right now. But I notice that I get a lot of the same questions over and over and over and over again, and I end up repeating myself on stream a lot, answering those same questions over and over and over again. So I thought it'd be kind of cool to have some kind of format where we could talk about that kind of stuff a little bit more, just like a little bit more in depth, and then have it like somewhere solidly out there rather than, oh, well, he said it on his stream one time, you know?
Yeah, yeah. If you don't know, if you guys haven't read Steven's blog, it's on destiny.gg and it's the blog section, and you know, you're starting to write a little bit more. Is that's kind of the plan, is that correct? You're kind of doing more entries?
Yeah, man, I gotta get that dumb website hits up.
of course. So okay, so that's kind of what we're gonna do. We're gonna start off by talking about really streaming, and you know, your last blog post was all about your journey in streaming and kind of giving folks a little background as to, you know, the challenges you kind of had to go through. And then in the meantime, kind of, you know, analyzing it too and kind of letting folks know like some of the choices you've had to make along the way to actually be a successful streamer. So why don't we go into that a little bit? You know, first off, you know, how many times have you answered that question, I guess? You know, like what kind of propelled you to write that blog like out of the blue, I feel like?
I get a lot of questions. It's hard to pin down just one, but I get a ton of questions that all have to do with everything that I kind of talk about in there. Like, I get a ton of people who are like, hey, I'm in the YouTube scene, or I'm in the tournament scene, or I'm in the streaming scene, and I'm really trying to break in. Like, what do you have to say? Like, what tips do you have? And then I see a lot of people who are like, what did you do to get to where you are? Like, why are you, how do you even have viewers? Like, who is this guy? You know, especially transitioning over to League, where I suck at the game pretty hard, and people see, and they're like, why does this guy even have viewers? You know, and so, I mean, and then there are other people who flame on forums and whatnot and say, like, oh, well, he has viewers because he just flames and he's racist, and people, 14-year-olds, think it's funny. So it's just, like, it's something that a lot of people kind of talk about. I feel like not very many people understand it unless they're either very intelligent or they've actually been there. Just because by nature, you usually don't understand something unless you've actually done it yourself, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I really like the fact that you started more from the standpoint of the real setup of streaming, you know, from the computer, your technological side of it, and really all the research that you did when it comes to the encoding and the broadcaster and all that good stuff, and kind of how that's evolved really in the last year and a half, or even 2 years. Yeah, you know, give me your thoughts on that and just kind of where it's at now compared to before.
Well, I mean, like, streaming as a technology is infinitely easier now than it was before. I mean, I'm sure you know that.
Yeah, I think I started at the end of that, so.
I mean, because I'm assuming most people probably haven't read what I put on my site. Like, just to give you, like, some flashback, when I started, in order to have a stream going, you would have to be, like, running, like, Flash Media Live Encoder. You would have to have an updated version of the, like, VP6 encoder, like, that you put in the folder yourself. You would have to be running the Camtasia studio to capture, like, the screen. Man. You would have to be running, like, virtual audio cables and then have, like, two or three audio cables running just to route all the audio correctly. Like, it was a nightmare. All of the work that you had to, and then after all of this, you had to have a presentable stream that fit in, like, 300 to 500 kilobits per second. Like, yeah, because that was, like, because there were bandwidth caps. Like, nobody will let you stream more than, like, 300 or 500, depending on what they were feeling at the time.
Yeah, see, I didn't know about that. I never knew about the bandwidth cap. That was really, really interesting to find out because, you know, when I started, you know, I tried to use the Flash Media Encoder and I could never get it to work without it stuttering. So I really started on the live stream broadcaster or whatever it was called. So that's kind of, you know, I started there and then I ended up, you know, going to Justin eventually. But yeah, I mean, you're definitely a lot more. I mean, you started a lot more earlier than I did, so yeah, it's pretty crazy that you ended up having go through that. So when did you switch over to just these, you know, all-in-one broadcasters?
Well, Livestream actually started out with something called their Procaster, which is where they were trying to do, like, some all-in-one tool to do everything, but that program was, like, super shoddy, and it would only work with, like, the Livestream platform. So eventually XSplit came out, and once XSplit came out, that's what a lot of people jump to. I prefer to stick with Flash Media Live Encoder.
Oh, you still use it today?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, man.
Okay. I stayed with Flash Media Live Encoder for a long time because I feel like there was more to customize there and you had more precise control over how your stream appeared exactly. Mm-hmm. So I stayed with that for a while until eventually XSplit, the encoding process on XSplit got so efficient that it was kind of silly to stay with Flash Media Live Encoder. So then eventually I hopped over to that and now I use OBS today.
Okay. Yeah, I've been kind of dabbling with both. I still use XSplit for the most part, but OBS I'm probably going to start using at least for Wednesday night sprites just because of performance-related issues. But yeah, so, you know, the technical stuff. So what would you say, like, from a computer standpoint? I mean, is streaming that I guess, intensive for your box right now?
Yeah, streaming is one of the most, probably the most processor-intensive thing anybody will ever do in their life. Outside of, like, hardcore audio-video editing or like, stuff like that, I can't think of anything that your processor could do that would be more taxing than streaming.
Right, that's true. Do you use an Avid Meteor card? A capture card?
I used to, but I don't anymore.
Okay. Yeah, I actually have one. I haven't played around quite enough with it yet, so that was kind of my question to you. But let's talk a little bit more. So let's kind of transition from the technical side of it to really just, you know, the more marketing, just getting it popular, right? I mean, that's the biggest question everybody has. You know, nowadays, I think, like you said, XSplit, OBS makes it really easy just to start your own stream. And, you know, Twitch, obviously, you can start an account really easily. But yeah, so how'd you get popular? You know, one of the things in your blog that I really, really liked was kind of like you talking about the progression, like where you had, I had 5-10 people watching for a while, then it kind of jumped up to 20, then 50, then 100, and that kind of progression. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, any kind of real focal points during those times. Like what kind of jumped you to those things, or did it just snowball organically for you?
I don't even want to say snowball because that makes it sound like it was like some exponential growth. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. I've always had a really slow, steady, positive growth over time in terms of viewership, or at least for the most part. I would say that like when I started out, probably the two biggest advantages I had going for me, three of the biggest advantages is one, I always made sure I had the technology side down as much as possible, which is important. Like I'm really big on like, if it's within your realm to control it, like you have to have it under control. Like if there's anything that you can do on your side, you have to do it. Like, mm-hmm. It's especially when you're in, especially as competitive as streaming it is today, you know? So like I made sure I had the technology side down. I streamed a lot. Which is good just because, you know, if somebody wants to watch a stream, oh, well, Destiny's always on, you know, just flip on Destiny, watch him, you know, right. Do Mass Burrowed Roaches versus Terran on the Wings of Liberty beta. And the time opponent helped a lot. And then the third one was I was usually really interactive with all the people that came to my stream. And I think that was probably the biggest one that set me apart. Streaming was pretty much reserved to kind of the elite people. And typically once people hit the bubble that I'm in, I don't know. Once people get to a certain level of fame, they hate associating with like the dirty plebeians, you know? and they kind of like don't associate with or talk to or anything, you know, like, you know, they're just people that watch my stream. I don't care about them. Like, Jesus, I don't want to talk to them. But I was pretty open. I would usually talk to people in chat. I got to know a lot of people in chat. I still know a lot of people in my chat. And I know a lot of the original people from my chat. Like sometimes I'll see an name and they're like, damn, like you were on Ustream, you know, like that happens every now and then. you know, guys like Dharma Turtle have been around for a long time, Mr. Sparkle, Speed 112. Like, and as I say these names, like, they don't necessarily mean anything to you, but they mean so much to me that there are even a lot of people in my right. chat that know them, like people that have almost become associated with my chat just because of how much I try to interact with my chat, you know?
Yeah,
And I think that was probably one of the biggest things that helped me in starting out was that interactive thing, because it's a cool feeling when you go to a stream and the streamer talks to you. Like, that's kind of mm-hmm. a cool thing. Like, if I ask a question, the guy's actually going to respond to me. Like, oh, like, that level of interaction is nice.
Yeah,
you know. And every time you interact with people, there's always a certain percentage that will probably come back. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, but let's be honest. I mean, that type of, I guess, intimate feeling, you know, where you're conversing with the stream chat. I mean, that happens on a lot of people's chat, right? You know, if somebody that has like 20, you know, somebody has 30 viewers. But you know, we're talking, you know, your numbers are, you know, have, you know, grown to large amounts of numbers. So it can't be just, you know, things like that. Right.
Sure.
So when it comes to the early days, you know, it's kind of funny, cause I remember some of those times where, you know, you would do really funny, you know, gimmicky type of things, almost like what Dragon does, you know, like trolling type of play. Right. How much did that play into it early on? I mean, was that a big unique factor of your stream?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. So this is something that I hear a lot of people say, that it's just like something that's kind of interesting to think about. I might sound a little bit full of myself here, but whatever. So a lot of people talk about how, like, this guy's just like got it. Like, he's a funny guy. He's got a funny yeah. personality. He's fun to hang out with. I'm pretty much at that. Like, I have that kind of personality where, like, if you're hanging out with me, I'm probably going to make you laugh, no matter what kind of a person you are, you know, or backgrounds, whatever. Usually I can get a laugh out of people, which is really big. That's a really huge thing.
Yep. Wit is good.
Yeah, not even necessarily being witty, but just being able to make people laugh. For no other reason, because it shows that you understand the person you're talking to enough to understand what he would think is funny, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, that's something that I've worked a lot at in my life. I spent a lot of time in high school kind of being a jokester. For every funny joke or thing you've heard me say on stream, I've told 50 million horrible jokes, you know, before that, whether it was off stream or whether it was during high school or grade school. So, like, being funny is something that I don't even know if I would tell somebody to work and try it, but, like, it's always something good to consider, you know, whether or not you think your jokes are hitting people the right way, whether or not you think your content is pretty funny.
So getting on that, is it trainable then?
I mean, I would assume so. I don't think you're just, like, born with the ability to put words together in such a way that they're funny. Like, it doesn't... I mean, I guess maybe some people are born with a better aptitude towards it, but I think most people could work towards it. For example, like, when you see comedians like Dave Chappelle or Chris Rock or Richard Pryor or George Carlin, anytime you see those comedians on stage doing their skits, they've rehearsed those in front of a mirror hundreds of times, thousands of times. And for every successful act that they give at some huge, with the 50,000 people in the audience, they've bombed out of clubs over and over and over and over and over again. I don't think anybody is born funny. I don't think it's something you just have. It's something you have to work towards, and you have to be conscious of working towards it. Like, if you just go, like, you can't be funny by just telling the same jokes over and over again and not listening or seeing how people are reacting to you, or understanding maybe, like, why is something funny or why isn't something funny. You know, like, before I go to do something on stream and I put on, like, the Rocky theme, like, I know that's funny because it's the Rocky theme. You know, you're parodying. Like, you understand, like, right, there's a whole, like, but you have to understand, like, I know why that's funny. But, like, if I were to do that, like, every single day, like, eventually it would probably be like, oh, whatever, like, this is dumb. Or if I were to do it at the wrong moments, or, you know. I think that that's something that's really important to look towards. I don't know if, like, grabbing a friend, it's impossible to ask friends that kind of stuff, because most friends aren't good enough friends. Yeah, they're not going to tell you that you're not really funny. Just like a random thing, if you've got a bunch of friends that are really supportive of you and they tell you that you're doing a good job no matter what, they're probably not that good of a friend, just saying. But yeah, it's really important to find people who will give you honest feedback, which is another nice thing about the internet, is that I can find honest feedback about myself anywhere. If I ever want to know what somebody thinks about me, I can go read SC Reddit, I can go read these Team Liquid threads, I can read the SCV threads on 4chan. Like, I know I exactly have perfect control. Well, not control, but I absolutely know what perceptions exist about me parts of the internet at all times.
See, that's a good, that's kind of an interesting point that you make there, because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people won't read it because they feel like there's just so many trolls. So it's kind of interesting that it sounds like you read almost everything. So, like, how do you filter the trolls from actual, actually good kind of critiques?
So there's this really stupid quote, there's a little bit of truth in every just kidding. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
People troll sometimes, but if 50% of the comments that you read online are, why is this guy such an asshole? Or why is this guy such an elitist? Yeah. Or, or I guess, like, in terms of me, like, why does this guy think he's this good when he just got carried? Or why does he think he was any good at Zerg when he just fucking abused investors? You know, like, even though those might be, you know, quote-unquote, just trolls, if a lot of people are saying it, like, you have to address it. You can't... Everybody listening to me right now doesn't have the opportunity to just ignore feedback and to just do whatever. You don't have that opportunity. I know that there are other people who have gone on record, such as Tasteless, who will say, like, I don't read feedback on forums anywhere. That's bullshit, blah, blah, blah. Tasteless can do that because Tasteless already had a leg up, like, starting out. Like, he fucking went to Korea. Like, he was huge, and he's been huge in the StarCraft II scene the entire time. He doesn't have to worry about this shit anymore. You know, like, for me, like, technically, I could probably get by without reading anything online. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I've already got my established fan base. I still do, though. But don't make the mistake of reading somebody's comments who is already in and doesn't have to worry about it anymore. Don't mistake his advice for something that you should take. I know that was a pretty popular thing that Tasteless said, where Tasteless was like, I don't read any feedback about me anywhere. Like, Tasteless can get away with that. You can't get away with that. You have to know what people think about you. Like, it's one of the most important things in the world, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, where else are you going to get feedback sometimes, right?
Honest feedback. Yeah. Really.
No, I hear you, man.
You will get the most brutal honesty on the internet. You'll get more brutal honesty than you've ever wanted in your entire life. Having thick skin helps too, I guess.
Yeah. I need more people to tell me I'm awkward, guys. That's pretty much what it sums up to. That's really, really good advice. So, speaking of, I guess, being funny and kind of working at it, do you watch your streams? Like, do you watch VODs or your streams and stuff like that?
Honestly, watching myself is cringeworthy. I hate the way my voice sounds. I would give anything to trade my voice in for, like, Past Pajamas or even, like, Axel Toss. I wish I had, like, a deeper, more resonant voice. I sound really nasally. Like, I could be a punk rock singer. Ugh.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily watch my stuff that much anymore because I already kind of understand, how, like, I've spent so much of my life trying to think about how, like, I come off or, like, how my jokes go or, like, if something I say is really rude or it's not funny or it comes off as awkward or cringeworthy or whatever. Like, I've spent so much time doing that I typically know, after I say something, I'll already know how I feel about, like, its delivery and whatnot. I don't know if that makes sense. I also have my chat for live feedback, too. So, like, if I say something or I say a joke and, like, nobody responds at all, like, I'll know it bombed and, you know, like, I'll mentally file that and I'll know it for next time. If I say something or do something and I've got, like, 50 billion people that are all parroting it and LOLOL and it's getting spammed in all parts of the internet, you know, like, Chad motherfucking Jones, then I'll know, like, oh, yeah, that was pretty funny. You know, like, I always file these things away.
Yeah, so... You know, one of the things that, you know, I even messaged you after I read the blog is that, you know, you're smart about all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, all the things that you're talking about, I think are really, really great things. And, you know, if you're going to be an entertainer, you know, that's absolutely what you need to do. Your comment about the comedians, perfect example, because they have thousands of jokes, right, that they log and, you know, they'll mix and match and do that sort of thing, right, after they know which ones would be successful and that sort of thing. So,
oh, shoot. I'm really sorry. Hold on 1 second.
It's okay. It's okay. Mute. That looks like a phone call, I think. Chad, straight out of Compton Jones. That's right. Sorry, I'm looking at chat right now. It'd be funny to have Chad on here one of these days.
Oh, sorry. My next computer stuff just got here. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. No, so I was just going to get to, like, you know, you're really smart about all this stuff. So, like, you know, and you make a lot of decisions as to what you do and, you know, and how you do it to be funny. So at what point does it start becoming contrived and not natural? And, you know, like, one of the things I would be afraid of, like, you putting that blog out, is that people might interpret it as you, you know, being very contrived.
Yep, and I actually got, there were not very many people, but there were a few people, because, like I said, I read every comment about me everywhere, whether it was on, some people on my Reddit thread were saying, isn't Destiny basically outing himself in putting this out here by saying that his whole thing is contrived? I don't know. It's a really hard line to draw sometimes. Like, for instance, like, there are ways that I would act hanging out around a girl that I'm trying to date. Okay, so let's say I go to a bar and there's a girl I'm trying to date. There are different ways that I would act around her as opposed to the way that I would act around her parents, as opposed to the ways that I would act around my friends, as opposed to the way that I would act towards a potential employer or even a potential employee. So like, I don't know if I would necessarily say that I like falsify or contrive anything of myself. Like all of my reactions are real. I don't like, it's not like if you were to meet me in person, I'm not like a totally different person. To be honest, I would say that my stream personality is pretty much right in line with who I am for the most part. The only things that I really altered heavily, I try to cut back a little bit on the language these days. but otherwise,
specific language. Okay, I follow you.
Yeah. but I mean, other than that, but I'm really lucky in that I'm in an industry where I can actually kind of just be myself and people like that, and it's funny. But even like even when I say like be myself, like the myself that I am has taken like a lot of work over the past 15 years of my life, not just when I'm streaming, but to be the funny kind of person that I am, or the dark and edgy humor, or, you know, stuff like that. It's a lot of stuff that I've had to work towards building.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like you're quite natural whenever you're on air, and, you know, I don't see you being more the person that's really on when you're on air versus like when you're off air, you're just like, completely subdued, you know, the same version of yourself, but just a subdued version kind of.
Can I give an example? Yeah, so you have somebody like Cat's Pajamas, right? Mm-hmm, I really like Cat's Pajamas. He's actually a history major. I don't remember he finished a bachelor's or higher.
Yeah.
But he went to school for history, and one of the things that he likes are a lot of like old like war history, and I always thought that it would be funny if you could incorporate that into like a stream or somehow, like make allusions or an analogy or some kind of reference to, you know, stuff like that, because it would be interesting. That being said, that would be like an entertaining personality, but for me to try to assume that personality wouldn't really fit my style, the kind of person that I am, you know, it wouldn't like fit in line with what I am. I could probably do it, but I would have to pull back from the internet and like completely and totally rework the way that I think, the way that I make jokes, how fast that I speak when I make certain jokes, kind of analogies I make. And then same thing for Kevin too. Kevin is very successful with the way that he like acts and the way that he kind of carries himself, but if he were to try to do my act, it wouldn't work with him either.
Oh,
you know,
of course, everybody has to, you know, everybody has to be themselves. I mean, you can't completely
like,
act,
I don't think,
you know,
it would be really hard to completely contrive a totally fake persona or to cut out a whole bunch of stuff from yourself in order to do an act. You know, like
yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I don't think people. I don't know. I think when people are watching streams and watching the players, you know, most of the streams are literally just the players playing games, right? And they're just saying whatever they want to say. They're really not even paying that much attention to entertaining the stream. They just kind of assume it, right? And or their play just speaks enough for itself, and people just want to watch it. So I think because of that, you know, most people assume that streams, it's just like, you know, it is your natural self. So I think that's maybe why when they see things like that, they might think it's contrived to a certain extent, which, you know,
sure. Although it's important to keep in mind that you can, like, there's a lot of self-improvement that goes into being able to talk to and hang out with other people. So if you're like streaming and you're not funny at all, and like you make the same AIDS joke over and over and over again, and you're really awkward and you pick your nose on stream, blah 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 blah, and then like you see a lot of people who argue about that online, they're like, oh, this guy's nasty, like he eats his boogers and he makes the same AIDS joke over and over again, like it's not enough to just go like, well, that's just my personality, bro, blah blah blah. Like, there might be like, maybe you need to change your personality to like interact with people better, or to figure out that kind of stuff too. Like upgrading, like changing your personality for the better of yourself, I wouldn't necessarily call that being fake, you know? And if you have a personality such that nobody wants to watch you or nobody thinks you're entertaining, like maybe that's like something that you can look to improve upon. Not just for streaming, but like for your whole life, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, you know, definitely I'm not the natural entertainer by any means. I mean, I'm a freaking engineer, and so this whole bit doing shows and stuff has really been my first time entering into it, and, you know, that's kind of a lot to do with, you know, the awkwardness. Oh, somebody's knocking on my door, sorry. Kids are on spring break, so you're gonna have to ignore any of those kind of things, because that's why I don't usually do shows at this time, but it's all good. But yeah, so I think in general, I think streaming is good, and interacting and just kind of, you know, kind of becoming more personable and stuff is really a huge benefit for that you can get from streaming. So from the standpoint, do you consider yourself edgy? I mean, because a lot of people that watch your stream, you know, they think it's edgy. It's kind of like shock jock, right? And that's why you're popular.
No. I'm not shock jock at all. I'm shock jocky compared to a lot of the personalities today. But I mean, like when the most politically correct team in StarCraft 2 is called Evil Geniuses, like, I mean, like, what do you expect? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I can be pretty shocking, but I'm not a shock jock. A lot of people say that, and it's a really easy way to be dismissive of everything I say, but that's kind of bullshit. I would argue against anybody that says I'm a shock jock, because I don't say things just to shock people on my stream. Literally, there are people that I feel like have this idea of me where I literally just make, like, racist and AIDS jokes and murder jokes and rape jokes for, like, 8 hours every single day, and that's all I do. And then I rage at everybody on the stream, like, and that's all I do for the entire day. I wouldn't necessarily say that I do that. I wouldn't say that I do that at all. I don't consider myself too edgy or shock jockey, but I think it's a really powerful way and a really easy way to dismiss somebody.
So how much of it has to do with just moments then? It's just like this maybe a couple handful of moments ever on your stream that have just really, really painted this picture of yourself.
Obviously, like, my stream clips, some of the ones that are more popular for the Baneling rape analogy and whatnot. People could probably stereotype my entire content based on that, but, I mean, I'm sure that doesn't help, that IG personality, so.
So has it not, so would you consider it being a negative thing? I mean...
Not in this industry. In this industry, there are far too many, like, politically correct, super, super nice, really scared to say anything, blah, blah, blah. So if anything, that's more of an asset to me than a liability at this point. Although it has been a bit of a liability in the past, obviously, everybody knows. But for the most part, it's worked out pretty positively for me.
Okay, yeah. So lately, you've been, you know, definitely more, you know, just doing the streaming thing, pretty much only doing the streaming thing, kind of lone wolfish type of thing. Do you see yourself ever wanting to get back into, you know, trying to work, you know, doing more kind of quote-unquote professional gigs, you know, like working with some of the sponsors and stuff that, you know, obviously we know about just all the past history and some of those bridges being burned. Can you see yourself getting back into that or no?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only two, like, parties that I've severely cut ties with are probably, like, anything having to do with EG and... Gigabyte. But aside from that, like, I haven't really been involved in anything for quite a while. You know, there hasn't been too much controversy. I don't think it would be that hard to get back into just because of my, just because of the amount of fans and viewers that I can get to different events and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'd be too hard to get back into it. I have a really hard time associating myself with a lot of stuff, especially when it comes to teams, because there are a lot of total fucking idiots in this business. There are owners of teams, there are managers of websites, there are editors, writers. There's a lot of people that are really, really stupid. Even though they've been in this business for quite a while, they just don't learn, or they refuse to learn, or they're too busy trying to make their ideas work, and they don't want to wake up and smell reality or whatever. So it's really frustrating sometimes.
So what's reality? I mean, like, give me an example of what you're talking about. That the team's not going anywhere, or that type of reality, or that
I don't know. We could do this all night. I don't know. Like, I'm not gonna
just keep to a minimum. One thing.
Sure. I don't want to beat up on anybody in particular, but but we will beat up on one person in particular. Okay, so I'm not talking shit. A really nice person. I love everybody, but like this is just one example out of 50 trillion examples. Okay. Look at Complexity, for instance. Like, I think Complexity does a really, 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 really bad job marketing its players. Like, I never saw anything going on with their streams, except for, like, Chad, who didn't even seem like a Complexity player. I never heard, like, really anything about their Koreans. They didn't do any work or effort at all to, like, make any of it marketable at all. And it's like, I'm picking on Complexity there, but that's not fair, because that problem is, like, a problem that almost every team has. Nobody does the marketing side of things at all, and it's, like, really depressing, you know? I feel like EG, as much as... as many problems as I have with some of them, EG is, like, the only team, probably right now, in the StarCraft II realm that I feel actually has the marketing side down correctly, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people would agree with you there, so I don't think that's that big of a diss on Complexity.
Things like
even though I have Jason on the show, one of my shows next week.
Jason Lake I've had like some personal disagreements with him, but he's one of those guys where Jason Lake is really similar to like DJ Wheat, and that like again like I've got personal problems with him, obviously, but you can't just like dismiss him entirely. Like, they've been involved with everything for way too long. You have to give him at least a little bit of respect, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have problems with Marius? DJ Wheat?
Marius?
Since that one episode, or even before that? I didn't even know that.
No, not before that, but I guess maybe since then.
Okay, got it. Okay, cool. Let's see, I had something I was going to ask you, but...
I don't like, why do tournaments complain about oversaturation when they are broadcasting 24/7? You notice that? Like, MLG and IPL, like, were broadcasting, like, yeah, all of their, like, their channel is open all the time, you know?
Well, they replayed MLG, like, three times, I think.
Yeah. And then they come onto forums, and then they talk about how oversaturation hurts their business model, and it's like, well, then why are you doing it, you know? Or, like, when people talk about oversaturation, and then, like, the World Championship Finals in China still have, like, miking issues, like, how are you going to complain to us about oversaturation when you can't even get the production down on your tournaments, right? Like, come on, like... stuff like that kills me. But okay, sorry, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk about games. I mean, or at least, you know, you playing StarCraft versus you playing League of Legends. And, you know, one of the things that you said that just months ago was that you were having a hard time deciding whether to, you know, switch to League of Legends or stay with StarCraft because, you know, obviously you've invested so much time in StarCraft, but you could just see all the great things that, like, Riot was doing. I think one of the reasons you made that change was just to have a bigger potential viewer base, right? Have you seen that come to fruition since you've switched basically to League?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm still pretty bad at League, but I can carry 3,000 to 4,000 viewers pretty easily. Mm-hmm. When no one else big is streaming on, I can carry 8,000 to 10,000 viewers pretty easily. So I mean, like, yeah, I definitely see that, and I'm not even at the top yet of, like, the most popular streamer for League of Legends. Like those guys get like 20,000 to 40,000 viewers while they're streaming. So
yeah, like Snoop and those guys. So one of the things I did notice that, you know, during when you were playing the campaign for HOTS, I mean, you were getting huge numbers even with people streaming. So
sure.
Did that have any impression on you?
Nah, this is going to sound really negative or pessimistic, but I mean, I hadn't played StarCraft 2 in a long time, so I had that hype behind me, and StarCraft 2 Heart of the Storm had just launched, so I had that hype behind me too, and then I was playing the campaign, which I guess a lot of people wanted to see, although really, you could have played either, so like, there was a ton of hype behind me, like, getting into Heart of the Swarm as soon as it came out, you know, as early as I did on Heart of the Swarm, the fact that it was me doing it. So, like, I had that there. I mean, I don't expect to maintain those numbers, and I still do play a little bit of Heart of the Swarm, but when I play Heart of the Swarm, I get pretty decent viewers now for it, like 5,000 to 6,000, which is a lot better than it was at the end of Wings of Liberty, but it sounds like a dickish thing to say, but I kind of expect that to start falling off a little bit again, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of... So the whole game discussion is kind of interesting because... You know, there's only so much that I feel like that you can, you know, because you're not one of the top pros, right? So the gameplay, I feel like, isn't probably the biggest attraction. I mean, I think it's fair to say that. So, you know, I feel like your personality is probably the most consistent thing as to why people keep coming, right?
Sure.
So why does the game even matter? Like, what if you played Let's Plays, you know, kind of like JP's been doing recently, you know, just a lot of people do, right?
The game matters because the total percentage... Okay, so the way that your fan base is created is... When you attach yourself to a game, that game has a total percentage of people that play, or a total amount of players, right? Mm-hmm. So there are X number of players that play the game. A percentage of the people that play the game watch streams. A percentage of those people that watch streams will watch your stream, okay? And like that's like this quick and dirty way of like figuring out like how many people you can get to watch your stream. So League of Legends has a much, much larger first number, the amount of people that play the game.
Sure.
Which means that they have a much larger second number, the amount of people that watch streams, which means you have a much larger possible following that you can go after. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I was going to say, that's why I was really critical, like on that In the Game episode, that's why I was saying Blizzard has to step up and do something different to their game, because it doesn't fucking matter how committed you are as a personality, it doesn't fucking matter how much you want to suck off esports until it guzzles off. It doesn't matter. If not that many people play the game, you're fighting tooth and nail over a small viewer base, and that's not fun. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody deserves to be put through to put through what you're going, like putting out this much content, doing this many interviews, and then getting like, you know, like a few, well, no, like, but I mean, like, it's true. Like, you work so hard, but you're drawing from such a small viewer base that in the end, like, everybody kind of gets screwed over that. And like, I know like a lot of people like it and stuff, and it's a mission of passion and whatnot, which is cool. But if the game was, I don't want to say if the game was better, but if Blizzard had done more to tailor it to a wider audience, then the numbers of people that you could be drawing from for potential viewers grow so much more, which means that the maximum total number of viewers that you can have grows so much more with it, you know?
Yeah. I know. I totally understand that. So we could transition to the Blizzard talk, but I, well, all right, let's do it. We're going to talk more about streaming in a second, but given that you brought up the whole Blizzard thing, you know, there's been a lot of buzz about Blizzard Well, I mean, you've kind of seen like a lot of things from Blizzard the last few months in regards to Heart of the Swarm and just a lot of changes they made to the UI. And it's funny because a lot of those changes, you know, you were talking about in that whole Legacy of the Void blog, you know, once ago that caused a huge stir in our community. And I kind of want to get your take on what you've been hearing recently and what you've seen in Heart of the Swarm and how that kind of, you know, lines up with your feelings, you know, back then.
I mean, they've done a lot of good stuff. I think, like, half the stuff that I complained about in that thing have been addressed in Heart of the Storm. I'm not saying it's been addressed because of me or whatever, whether or not it was in the works before or whatever. And, like, there are a lot of people who I see things like, wow, I'm really glad Destiny did that, so Blizzard actually got on this stuff. Yeah. And then I've seen a lot of people say, like, Destiny had nothing to do with it. You really think that a AAA company would listen to some fucking hairy dick guy on the internet, like, arguing on forums? So, like, I mean, how much influence it had, you know, I'm not entirely sure. And there's no way that I could possibly measure that without, like, capturing and interrogating Blizzard employees. But a lot of the stuff that I did complain about, quite a bit of it has been addressed in Heart of the Swarm, and it seems like they're working towards fixing a lot of it. So, I mean, that's kind of a nice thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think a lot of things that we talked about on ProCorner, that one time you were on, what had to do with casual, you know, just the casual aspects of it and the social sides of it. So yeah. I think we're starting to see some of that.
Maybe, but nobody higher up gets that yet. Nobody still understands it. Completely out of touch, but whatever. That was the, I wanted... or actually, I probably shouldn't talk about that. But no, like there's a lot of higher. No, I will get in trouble. There's a lot of higher people who think that not to go back to the EG people again, but there's a lot of higher people who think that the way that we can make the community better is by like addressing these pro issues and worrying about game balance and fixing the ladder and the balance at the highest levels and you know a lot of stuff like that or like how we present tournaments and stuff. When really like that's kind of a minor subset of. Having a game that appeals to a ton of people to get to watch everything, you know?
Yeah, I mean, my biggest thing is retention, right? And having it be more social and having, you know, just places for people to come to, you know, during the day is, I think, the biggest thing, right? And that's why, you know, obviously one of my projects has to do with the arcade, and I'm just all about that right now. So, you know, the arcade in the past has always been one of these places that people could congregate around and just, you know, come and just have a, just even just from a socializing standpoint, you know, they could do that sort of thing. So yeah, hopefully we'll definitely get to that point. So do you like the fact that Blizzard's kind of, you know, there's some talk of Blizzard basically starting to get way more involved? And I mean, I'm not going to go into the details because a lot of the details are all speculation and we'll hear about it next week anyways. But, you know, I think it's fair to say that Blizzard is definitely taking the reins on a lot of things, you know, in regards to the esports, StarCraft 2 esports. What do you think of that?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't really want Blizzard to be involved in the tournament side of things at all, but that's, like, me personally. I mean, you can make legitimate arguments for or against. Like, if I could just have Blizzard focus on one thing right now, like, if I could tell them to focus on one thing for StarCraft 2, I would want them to focus on some kind of microtransaction or DLC kind of esque stuff for StarCraft 2. And when I say that, I don't mean, like, restricting parts of the campaign. I mean, like, really small, stupid stuff. Things like either, like, artwork or skins that you could buy or, like, really stupid stuff like that. And the reason why I would like to see that is because it would give them some incentive to follow the game past the launch of Heart of the Swarm.
Well, like, I mean, is it more to do with that, or is it more to do with free to play?
I mean, so here's the problem, okay? When you have a game like World of Warcraft or League of Legends or basically some game that's continually updated, not continually updated. You have a game that people continue to pay money for. What happens is the customer continues to pay money for the product as long as they're satisfied with the product. For League of Legends, you'll continue to buy skins as long as you continue to play the game. For World of Warcraft, you'll continue to pay the monthly sub fee for as long as the game is interesting to play for you. That gives Blizzard, not only does it give Blizzard an incentive to constantly be working on their game, but it also gives them a budget of which that they can hire out people to actually work on the game, you know? So with StarCraft Wings of Liberty, there was a whole bunch of shit that we missed out on that we didn't like, that sucked and blah, blah, blah. But Blizzard didn't have the budget or the incentive to really care about any of it. They didn't fix anything. But as soon as Heart of the Swarm rolled out, obviously they have their marketing budget and all of that set aside for advertising. And then they have a budget for how much they think they're going to make on the game. And then they're going to hire engineers to work on that stuff. But what happens if we start getting a lot of problems like post Heart of the Swarm, or there's a lot of stuff that we launch? Well, now they really don't care anymore. Like, we got all of these updates and all these cool things once Heart of the Swarm launched. But the only time we're going to see that much activity again from Blizzard's end is going to be when Legacy of the Void comes out. But we're going to see like another big, like these big slopes of activity from Blizzard's end, you know, because in between games, it's not like they're going to be making any money, you know?
Sorry, dude. My kids are like pounding on the door.
No, that's fine.
Keep going.
I wish that Blizzard had some kind of incentive to follow the game in between launches instead of just trying to collect all the money up front with an expansion. It would be nicer if they had some way to make money in game, so they had an incentive to follow it.
No, I mean, I think it makes absolute sense. It's just, that's like the hardest thing to change, obviously, right? So
No, but it's not that hard. Like, how hard would it be to like implement skins or something in the game? Like, really dumb, silly, easy to do stuff like that.
I don't think the skins part's easy, but I think microtransaction in Battle.net, I think it's a bigger project.
I don't even think that would be that hard. Like, it would be hard if you were like maybe Notch, like, and you do Minecraft. Like, maybe it would be hard for him, or not to knock Notch, but like, I'm trying to actually, I shouldn't even use Notch as an example. Like, if you're like an indie developer, it might be hard. But this is a AAA company. They have all of the infrastructure on the back end in place to handle transactions, handle credit cards, handle PayPal, whatever. They have all of it set up. Building a front end, like, it's a AAA company. They got the people to do it. Like, it can't be that hard. Like, so it's kind of disappointing to see that they choose not to go down that route. Like, when I see that, it makes it look like that they have more interest in pursuing other projects, and they're kind of just dumping the expansion on you, and then they just kind of take off, and they'll come back to give you a lot more
stuff.
Well,
see, that's not true. See, I don't know. I disagree with you there, for sure, because, they're a big, they do have multiple projects, right? I mean, Blizzard has a lot of titles, and StarCraft's obviously just one of the titles, and they only have so many. They actually only have so many developers for StarCraft. Do they have a lot? Yeah, they probably have a lot. They have a lot of artists and developers, but the thing is that...
But see, like, when you say they only have so many developers, I agree, but the amount of engineers that they have in place to work on StarCraft is restricted by their budget. That's why I said I would like to see that microtransaction stuff happen, because if they actually have, like, an actual income, a steady income from Heart of the Swarm, then they have a bigger budget where they can hire more people to work on stuff like that, you know? That's why I see them trying to make money from it after it's already been launched. There's people that would give the money away. Like, there's... How many people right now would pay... And this is, like, my big thing, okay? I'm gonna plug my big thing right now. I want an Abathur voice pack to replace the Queen. StarCraft 2 Heart of the Swarm.
That'd be pretty sweet.
I would pay $50. I would pay $50 to have that voice pack, okay? But, like, that's a ridiculous price. How many people would pay $10 to $15... You know, say just 10,000 people, only 10,000 people out of the 4.5 million people, say 10,000, even 10,000 might be a big another, say 5,000 people pay $15 for that voice pack. Like, that's $75,000 right there. It's not a lot of money, but it's easily enough to pay somebody to work on, battle.net infrastructure for StarCraft 2 for, 3 to 6 months. Like, it's money in the pocket, dude. Like,
it is, but again, it's. Blizzard's a bigger company now, and there's a process, right?
I mean, Blizzard Activision is a bigger company.
Sure. But still, they're still not, like, tiny startup where they can just change things, like, instantly. I mean, I still believe that, just given that, whatever experiences I have in developing software. But I think that would be an awesome idea. I wouldn't be surprised if it's on their pipeline, It's just a matter of getting to it, and... Yeah, I've heard some talk of things like that, so we'll see. Yeah, I think that would be amazing. Abathur voice pack would be... Oh my god, that'd be sick, dude. That'd be so awesome.
It would be too cool, man.
Yeah, totally, man. But getting back to streaming, I figured one of the things that we do is let's talk about some of the other professional streamers. We've talked about you, obviously, and a lot of things that have made you... successful, just your personality and that sort of thing. But there are other folks too that are doing this for basically a living, right? They're not like the top tier pro players. They, they don't win tournaments, that sort of thing. And I figure, why don't we talk about some of them and maybe some of the pro or just the positives and negatives of some of them, and hopefully some folks watching will learn a few things just through the analysis. So let's start with your good buddy Desro. Let's start with Mark's stream. What are the good things about Mark's, what Mark does as a kind of, just call it pro streamer for now, just something, just give it a term.
One of the good things that Desert does is Desert actually spends a lot of time thinking about and putting effort into thinking about how he's going to capture more of the market. Like, he actually thinks about, like, times to stream. He tries to stream a lot. He pays quite a bit of attention to the fans that he does have. I know he, like, tries to do his YouTube and stuff. He's got, like, his panda dress up and whatnot. Like, it's really easy to make fun of Desro, because the negatives are very obvious. You got the weight issue, you got the attitude issues at some points in time. But if you take all of the negatives of Desro, it would be very hard to imagine that kind of person could have the kind of success that he does on stream. And Desro isn't a super successful stream, but he does pretty good for himself, considering the problems that he's had. So, like, I think that the kind of work, the amount of work that he puts into his stuff actually shows,
Yeah, I'd agree with it too. I mean, I you know, I've definitely talked to him before, and you can just see on his page, right? He has these different kind of product offerings, you know, or subscription offerings, and he, you know, has all these different events on each day, and, you know, like you said, he did the Panda thing and the YouTube thing, and, you know, he has coachings and all that. I mean, he does definitely a lot of different things, which you don't see with a lot of streams. In fact, you don't even see it with yours, you know, quite honestly. Like, you don't even do, like, nearly as many things as he does, I think. I mean, is that fair? No, I mean, that's fair, right? I mean...
No, it's definitely true. It's, yeah, 100% true. I'm nowhere near that motivated. But again, like, you can't necessarily take an example off of me because, like I said, like, I can be a little bit lazy because I've already got myself a really nice cushion. I was so...
Yeah, like, should you be lazy? Okay, like, so should you be lazy? See, that's the thing. Like, I feel
should
like...
Should you be lazy? Yeah. If I wanted to, I could attract a lot more... I could probably get more fans if I wanted to by changing some things. But I make a decent amount of money right now. I'm not, like, super greedy, so...
That pisses me off, dude. Okay. Because like, you know, as much as obviously I love doing this for the community and my goals are different than obviously, you know, others, but you know, it's like when I see you have so many viewers and you could do so much with it, right? You know, whether it's you want to make more money or you want to do something, you know, something else that's productive. You know,
To see somebody that could be making so much more money to not do... Okay, so, like, I'm not entirely super, super, super lazy. I say that a little bit. But right now, what I'm looking for is more of a long-term investment. Like, if I wanted to go short-term right now, there's a lot of stuff in the short-term that I could do to generate quite a bit of money. But if I could become a really good League of Legends player, the mm-hmm. amount of money that waits for me at the end of that path is much, much, much greater than... whatever temporary financial gains I could get by switching, you know, like switch to a donation model or play a lot more fan games or plays, you know, or to play a lot more subscriber games and to take away time from seriously playing, you know, the game that I'm trying to get good at.
Right.
I kind of say that. Like, there are things right now that I could do, but other things that I could do to change, like, the amount of people that watch my stream would have kind of a minimal impact on me anyway. Things like, sometimes I play music on my stream that some people might not agree with, but I don't care that much about that anymore, so I guess in some ways I am kind of a little bit lazy, but for the most part, I'm still doing most of the things right that I need to maintain the fans that I have and to continue to grow my fan base. Right. And again, I'm looking at that long-term, like, the biggest asset right now that I need to develop is being really good at League of Legends before I can push my stuff that much harder.
Okay. I guess that's fair. I mean, you know, I'm talking to you about it because you're not the only one. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a lot of people who are you know, already successful as a streamer that you know, don't do nearly as much as some of the other folks that aren't, you know, really. And,
yeah, sure.
You know, it's always interesting to have that discussion. Actually, you might lower your cam a little bit. Your cam's like, I mean, your nameplate's over your face right now.
You know what, dude? Maybe I like it like that.
There you go. I know people are probably not liking that, but I think it wasn't liking. But yeah, so with Desiree, I'd agree with that. So what are the things, I mean, you talked a little bit about his personality and that sort of thing. Is there anything from a standpoint of streaming that you think that Desiree is not doing well, or if he's watching? It's for you, Mark.
I mean, I actually talk to Desiree every now and then. Well, I'm really bad at responding to people on Skype. I think for the most part, he's got it down. The two biggest things he probably has to work on are, it seems like he hasn't had any attitude problems come up in a while, like any like big things, because I know like for a while there were a couple of things surrounding him, like him leaving a team and keeping money, or like the whole Maximus Black fiasco.
Sure.
I mean, the more that he distances himself from that and continues to improve his stock as an actual player, I think he'll continue to grow.
Cool. All right, let's move on to another one. Let's talk about somebody that's kind of, you know, a tiny bit similar to yours, which would be Maximus, you know, just Jeff, and, you know, what he does on his stream. Talk to me about the differences between what he does and what you do, or maybe it's just some of the good things that he does.
I don't watch Maximus too much, but he definitely has the entertainment side down. This is going to sound a little bit mean, but the one thing you have to be careful of when you're doing the entertainment thing, and this is something I'm constantly worried about for myself, is you have to be careful not to come off as trying really, really hard and being super contrived. For the most part, Maximus Black is pretty funny, but there have been a few moments where I've been watching a stream where it got a little bit too much into the, like, wearing the metal hat and screaming territory. I don't know if anybody
people,
else here.
Oh, dude, like, people love that. What do you mean?
Like, I know there are some people that do it. I know there are some people. or maybe even a lot of people like it, but some of it gets a little bit too deep. But for the most part, I would say, like, Maximus Black has his shit down, and that's really obvious. Like, Maximus Black has a pretty huge, pretty huge following between his YouTube and his stream. Like, he's not, like, the biggest streamer, but he's really successful in terms of his YouTube stuff. Him and Supernova did that, When Cheese Fails, they built that show from nothing.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how he started, right? So
yeah, I didn't know anybody. I will always give a lot of respect to people that built a lot from nothing, and When Cheese Fails came from nothing. Maximus Black and Nova War, like, they weren't friends with everybody at TL. They weren't big Brood War people. They weren't even big StarCraft. They weren't even good at StarCraft 2. I don't even know if they played StarCraft 2, maybe a little bit. But they built that show from nothing, which is, like, that's really cool. It's really cool that they did that. So,
they worked hard, too. Like, I mean, to the point where, you know, they got a lot of shit for spamming and stuff, but you know what? In the end, the result is the result, man, you know? So. Yeah.
And again, you have to be careful, like, to not come off as too hard or not come off as too spamming. There's, like, so many fine lines, it's really hard to navigate that. When you get to the point to where I'm at, though, I know that there are a lot of people with maybe some different opinions of what I have, so, like, these are just my own. So, with Maximus Black, like, he might have learned things a little bit differently or sees things a little bit differently than me, too, so, I mean, like, it would be interesting to hear his
critique. Be funny to have him on one of these days.
he's not really somebody that I would point to and critique too much. He's probably somebody I would point to more as a good example. Him and, like, Dragon, like, are really, really good examples, because they're not necessarily the best at the game. It's not like they're, like, Code-S players, but they were still able to build themselves into a really recognizable name, and they do pretty good in stream numbers.
Well, Dragon is Dragon's a different story. I mean, Dragon is not a bad player by any means.
But he's nowhere near, like, Code A, even. Like, he's not the best player in the world. He's pretty good, and he's pretty entertaining. Dragon is probably the only Korean that I've ever seen in my life. There are two Koreans that I've seen that, in my mind, really worked hard at trying to understand Western culture and get in there and really abuse it for their favor. Dragon is one. If you watch Dragon stream, Dragon is fucking hilarious, okay? It's like, yes, he's funny, and it even makes me mad. Like, we would joke so much at the Ministry of Wind, me and a couple of the other guys that all of you know about, like, how much we fucking hate. Like, you lose to Dragon, you know he's fucking laughing about it on stream, and it's going to go up on, like, my YouTube later, and you're going to be pissed off and shit. We would make jokes about that all day. But I mean, those jokes aside, like, Dragon understands his audience. He understands his audience. He knows what's funny, and he knows how to be funny, and he does it really well. And he's, like, one of the only Koreans I've ever seen do that. Dragon is one person who does that, and the only other person, I haven't heard much about him, but Violet was really good with understanding Western culture. He worked a lot on his English. He comes off as a very respectable, kind person. He seems like he tries really hard to understand all of the people around him and whatnot. Like, I had a lot of respect for Violet and Dragon when it comes to kind of building a name for yourself.
Yeah, well, he's awesome. Violet's a really, really nice guy. And, yeah, I mean, he's as much Americanized as you would think, you know, from a Korean professional player. I mean, he's the most Americanized, I think, and he loves it here too. You know, I think he's always talking about just the food here and everything. So that's true. What do you think? Do you think MC is at all or no? Or you think that's just more from just whatever, you know, in the Korean culture that he talked about wrestling and stuff. Just but that, you know, having some influence with that type of thing. But I think that's in the Korean culture.
MC kind of has it a little bit. So a lot of the Koreans, in my mind, okay, so we're getting a little bit into conjecture and opinion, but in my opinion, it seems like a lot of Koreans look at the Western culture, especially like the popularity and the streaming thing, and they just see it and they don't understand it at all, but then they try to get in there and like get as much possible, and it leaves a really bad taste in my mouth. Anytime a really good Korean streamer gets on and they have really shitty video quality, they're blaring K-pop, they're only off racing, or when they get their own race they play joke games, or they show replays on their stream, those people leave a really bad taste in my mouth. Because when I see that, like, I know like MKP did it for a while, I know that MC's done it in the past, I know that Nest, he did it, like, so many of these really good players, like fuck, like, oh my god, like, he's streaming, and then you go and you turn their stream on and it's like, the fuck is this shit? Like, you just like, what, you just wanted my money because you're like a famous person? Like, fuck you. Like, you know, like that kind of stuff, like, really, like, that irks me, because it shows a huge misunderstanding of how the Western people got popular. And it's almost a little bit insulting that like the Korean guys can look at it and be like, oh, well, I'm just gonna make a stream and get American money. Like, come on, like, you have to at least try, you know?
People are watching. I mean,
no, right? They're not, though, but they're not. That's the big thing. And it's always funny because you go online and people are so surprised. They're like, why does Destiny get 10,000 viewers streaming Heart of the Storm and Jadong only gets 2,000 viewers, you know? Or why is it that all of these Code-S players only get 1,000 viewers when they stream? Like, And well, the reason, because they're boring as fuck to watch. Like, nobody in their right mind is going to watch some guy just, like, staring, like, doing this. And even, like, off-racing or playing, like, Tenpool every single game. I got so mad watching Nesty stream. Like, I hated that. Watching Nesty stream pissed me off so much. Like, he would be randoming, playing joke games, and he finally got a Zerg. Like, yes, he got a Zerg. I could see, like, a fucking Zerg.
Tenpool.
Oh, he's just Tenpooling. Like, you know, like, whatever. Like, why are you even fucking streaming? Like, it's so obvious. Like, well, they're really good players. I'm just going to stream and get a lot of money, you know? Like, so, like, and even you said it earlier. Like, yeah, it seems like they have a decent amount of viewers, like 1,000 viewers. But no, that's a shitty amount of viewers. If I was Code S, I would have like 10,000 viewers, 15,000 in StarCraft 2, easily. Because I'm funny. People watch me. I'm funny as fuck. And people will watch me being funny. And if I had that level of skill to back it up too, not only would they know that I'm funny, but they would see me being funny and playing tournaments and stuff. That would be huge. Like,
yeah.
That's the hard part, is being really good at the game. Like, I've got the easy part down, which is the being funny. Well, you know, I say it's easy. It required a lot of work. But, like, if you could combine
yeah, it's,
that...
It's more...
Like,
it's more possible, prevalent than
it's really sad seeing the really really talented gamers trying to just jump on the stream money train and like expect all of the money to just roll in because they're good, and it doesn't work that way. It's never worked that way, you know.
It's marketing for teams, you know. What are you talking about? Just streaming.
But it's bad marketing. They don't. That's like one of the Koreans are impossible to market, man. They don't talk. They're not funny. They're like, I understand a lot of it is the language barrier, but you know, like, I mean. Language barrier style, like, it's something you have to work on. Violet worked really hard on it. Dragon worked really hard on it. Even Sella is more entertaining than, like, 99% of the Korean people. MC is really funny. MC's pretty funny. Even though I bashed a streamer earlier, MC's a pretty funny guy. And MC's humor is pretty funny. Yeah. MC's humor is pretty funny no matter who's watching, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it... Well, when you're talking about Nesty just doing those kind of joke games, that's one thing. But I think a lot of the other teams and, you know, players, they kind of... Think of it as killing two birds with one stone type of thing, right? They're kind of practicing on the ladder while they're just streaming, right? They're marketing themselves, but you're right. It's not a very effective way of marketing, and you know, I don't know how many people actually think that though. You know, again, I think the EG guys do the best job whenever they're streaming of being players that actually, you know, talk and do analysis and that sort of thing. Well. For the most part, I don't know if Greg.
For the
does
most part,
much,
no.
But
there's like you have to draw like a really, you have like there are like two things. There are the kind of person that you want to be and the kind of person that you market yourself as. You know, So like one of the other things you could bring up would be like Athene. You know,
yeah.
Athene is kind of strange when you look at the streams because is he streaming right now?
Let's see, Athene. Well, you tell me. Shoot.
I don't. Typically, when Athene streams, okay, he is streaming right now. Oh, okay, so he's actually got. Oh, he's doing his promotion matches. He's actually got quite a few viewers now. 4,500, 5,000.
Okay.
Well, damn. Well, that's better than I thought. Typically, his stream numbers usually are a little bit lower than that. So, one of the problems that you have that a lot of people run into is you have to market yourself honestly, and if you don't do that, then the gap between what you market yourself and what you actually are, that gap will fuel haters for years and years and years to come. When you look at somebody like Athene, and you look at Athene's YouTube stuff, Athene's YouTube channel is really, really funny, okay? I've laughed in the past. Anybody here that says that they haven't laughed in an Athene video on YouTube is an asshole, okay? You're totally, like, shut the fuck up. Like, everybody here has seen an Athene video that they thought is funny and laughed at. I didn't even know World of Warcraft is, and I've watched Athene videos having to do with World of Warcraft that I thought was pretty funny. But, like, if you look at that shtick, that kind of marketing that he does, it's Athene is the best gamer in the world. And that's the illusion that we're presented with. And we'll suspend our disbelief to watch his YouTube video and think that that's funny. And it is, and it's funny. And we watch that, and, like, we see the YouTube, and Athene, best gamer in the world, haha, and it's really funny, blah, 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 blah. But then he starts streaming, and... When he streams, he tries to stream as, like, the best gamer in the world, but he doesn't have, like, the same funniness, and he's not the best gamer in the world. So, like, you see, like, we have that gap between what we've been marketed and what he actually is, and within that gap is where the disappointment, where Frowntown exists, you know? Like, if that existed in a geographic location, you would have, like, the peaks of happiness, you would have Frowntown, like... But it's true. Like, it sounds funny, but you have... That understanding is so important. Like, even though I try so incredibly hard to bridge that gap, even I still have problems with it. Like, every time I'm on stream, I always, when I'm talking to people about myself, I am really popular because I'm funny, I'm entertaining, yeah. people like yeah. my music, people like my quality. I never have ever gone on record as saying, people watch me because I'm a pro gamer, top tier stream, best kicking ass, taking names, you know, left and right. Well, I've never said that about myself. Some people go out and do it, and then other people argue with them about it, but for the most part, if you honestly ask most people, they would know that, oh, well, Destiny, he markets himself as funny, he's pretty funny, so, you know, whatever, that's fine. Athene ran into that perception problem when he started streaming. Like, wow, best gamer in the world, you kind of suck. Like, what the fuck, you know? And then it's not as fun, you know? EG runs into that problem sometimes to where, like, In Control has to wrestle a lot with it. I don't know how In Control specifically markets himself, but I know initially he was marketing himself as, I want to be a pro player, I want to be a pro player, I want to be a pro player. And fucking, he's not at that level. He's just not at the level. Like, he's not. And every time people watch his streams, see him participate in tournaments, our disappointment for Jeff exists between the gaps of what he is and what he markets himself as. If Jeff would just pull it back and market himself as a funny caster, a very entertaining caster, because he is, and then he plays in his spare time, he would have so many less haters online. All he would have to do is say, like, I know I'm not the best player, but, you know, I'm really funny with casting, and I'm really witty, and I'm probably the only person in the world that could sit next to Too Good and go fucking blow for blow with him in verbal abuse. If he marketed himself like that, he would have so many less haters online.
Yeah, I mean, he'd have less haters online, I agree with you, just in general, but that doesn't change his streaming experience. I mean, him playing and him being, like, you know, let's just call it adequate Protoss player for now. You know, it's just labeled as that. I don't know what the right word is for it, but it's, you know, it's just a subject matter. You know, it's just this kind of frame that you can put it around his streaming and the dialogue that goes on between him and the viewers, right? It's kind of like you playing too. I mean, it's the same thing.
No. Because the difference is, like, In Control always comes out with these blogs saying, I'm going to try really hard, or, like, I'm buckling down.
That's like a year removed now, dude. He doesn't do that anymore. No,
he doesn't anymore, but, you know, like, first impressions, like, he did that a lot last year. So it is going to take some time to remove that impression that people have of him. Like, when people look at Jeff or they think of Jeff, they still have that, oh my god, this is, like, the guy that said he was going to work really, 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 really hard, and now he's not even doing that good. You know, like, people still have that perception of, he said he was going to be really good, and he's not that good, so what the fuck am I watching, you know? Like, for another counterexample, you know, like, the owner from Pure Onage, right? Did you ever watch that show?
Yeah.
Typically, for most people, you would only have good memories of that show. Like, it was funny. Like,
yeah,
he was, like,
great.
Best game in the world, the owner, he fucking owned it, games, blah, blah, blah. You know it's a joke, but you suspend your disbelief for watching YouTube videos, and it's funny. Even when he compares himself to other real people, like, there's an episode where it shows him, like, it lists, like, the ladders, and it's, like, one is the owner, two is Jadong, three is Boxer.
Right.
You know he's not better than him. But could you imagine the disappointment if he started to stream his games for StarCraft 2 and he was only a Diamond League player? Like,
but that's a totally different thing. I mean, like, you're talking about Athene and stuff. I mean, that's just a challenge they put. I mean, it's a YouTube.
I think it's the exact same thing. Because the problem is, we suspend our disbelief for the entertainment of believing that you are the best player, that's really funny and it works for your videos, but as soon as we see the reality, it's like, fuck, like, it's just not as funny anymore, you know? And I feel like if Jeremy would have started streaming StarCraft 2 and he would have been Diamond League, I feel like it would be the exact same response as when Athene started streaming his exclusively Ryze, Soraka, you know, mid lane stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, okay, I guess that's true. I mean, obviously, with the YouTube content producers, they're protected by the fact that they can edit, right? I mean,
basically, I'm not trying to bash either person, or I'm not trying to say, like, they're wrong for wanting to stream or to jump over from YouTube to streaming or whatnot. I'm just saying that you have to be very careful how you market yourself, you know? Like, if Athene would have changed his personality fucking completely, and Athene would have been like, okay, guys, I'm actually going to start streaming LOL. I'm pretty fucking bad at this game, but, you know, like, bear with me. We'll have some laughs, you know? I want to play Ryze and Soraka. I'm going to grind that out. I'm going to try to get good at this game, and we'll see what happens, you know, we'll go from there. His stream would have been so much more well received than,
agree with that.
Best scammer in the world, I'm gonna come and suck dick at League until I actually get pretty good at it, and then, like, you know, like, it would have been so much better for the response, in my opinion.
Yeah, best in the world would have just been more of a quote joke that's just kind of running the whole time. Yeah, no, I agree with that. So why do you think these people get into live streaming then? I mean, YouTube is, I mean, for Athene, come on, Athene makes more, I think, much more money on YouTube than he does on streaming live, and same with TV too. So it's just like, why do these people even bother? I mean,
you see how successful you're on YouTube, and you think that it'll translate super easily to another medium. I think that's the thought. Like, you see, like,
so
600,000 subs on YouTube, and these successful streamers only have 5,000 concurrent viewers. If I've got 600,000 subs, I could easily get 100,000 current viewers, you know, like, if you're just, like, thinking crazy shit like that. So, I mean, it's a misunderstanding of the medium, and it's a misunderstanding of the difference between the marketing that you do and the carefully prepared YouTube clips you have versus a raw, unfiltered feed of you playing a game, you know?
Right, right. Okay, well, that's interesting. Not really a tangent, but that was definitely a good discussion on just a lot of the other all the other streamers. One last question about the streamers, though, and you too. Revenue streams coming from donations. The first question is, how big is it for you, and what do you think it? How big is it? Do you think it is for some of these other top one streamers? And the second question is really like, is this a reliable form of revenue?
I don't know. I personally hate the charity model. I think it's unsustainable, and it feels illegitimate to me. I hate to say a hard day's work because I fucking play video games for a living, but I'll say it. Like, and this is someone who's cleaned carpets professionally and worked at McDonald's. Like, I've worked worse jobs than 99% of the people than everybody in this industry. Okay, well, 99% of people in this industry, and probably 95% of the people watching. So, like, I will say, like, I feel better working for my money, even if it comes in the form of advertising, rather than relying on charitable contributions. Charity can be really hard to keep track of. It can be really hard to have a solid, dependable stream of charity revenue. And
you
it just
say
feels.
No to it?
I mean, I don't say no to it, but I don't advertise it either.
Yeah, true. That's true.
I mean, I don't know. Like, there are some people that like to do the donation part a lot, and if you like it, that's fine. I mean, you can do it. But I feel like the donation thing can hurt your credibility a little bit.
Well, if you're begging for it and stuff like that. But, you know, there's very creative ways that people have been doing it, right? And, so chip-ins. How bad are those?
Sure. I mean, it's if you like it, it's fine. I don't know. If you like it, it's fine. Like, I don't know. I'm injecting a lot of my own personal opinion in this, but no one will ever be able to look at my stream and go like, oh, fuck my God, he's fucking charity. Like, what a bullshit, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not a charity case at all.
Okay, how about subscriptions?
People ever say about me?
How about subscriptions?
How about subscription? Subscriptions are subscriptions. I guess you could argue that that's a form of charity, but I don't know. I feel like for a subscription, you're paying more for a product or a service. Like, I'm going to pay $2.50 a month for you to be entertaining, or $5 a month, sorry. You pay $5 a month to be entertaining for me, and I'm going to subscribe to you so long as you sustain me with good content, you know?
Yeah, you sound like Twitch, man.
What do you mean?
Like the subscription model is charity. It is like all about just purely supporting the... See, I totally disagree with that.
Whoa, whoa! I'm not gonna say that I don't get raped in the ass by the split because I definitely get raped in the ass.
Okay, okay, that's a different subject.
Okay,
but what I'm trying to say is that there are so many offerings, product offerings you could probably you can do, like Desra, right? Desra has all these crazy product offerings with the subscription, and I feel like that's not charity, right? I mean, that's...
You know what? You're absolutely right. I just completely changed my mind on it. The subscription model is entirely charity. I'm not being sarcastic. I sound sarcastic, but no, you're right, because the only reason you subscribe is to remove ads, and you can remove ads anyway with AdBlock. So I guess in a way, the subscription model is charity. So I'm not even being sarcastic. I just, like, I don't know why. I'd never really thought about it that much before, but no, I mean, more or less, the subscription model is charity, because you can remove ads all you want with AdBlock. So that's something that I'll have to think about more in the future. Maybe I'll start going down that road or something more, but I'll think about that more in the future. I'm really uncomfortable with really big charity begging, but I guess there are tasteful ways to do it, like if you've got like a chip in for a particular computer, because it's not like anybody's forcing you to donate. So
sure, that's true. I mean, yeah, I mean, it does come from a lot of the generous viewers, right? I mean, with a lot of these folks, and in some ways, like how bad is it when they are chipping in for like a new mic, for instance, to improve the quality of their entertainment?
Yeah, sure. I guess there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, I have to think about this one before I have a strong opinion on it. I haven't thought about it.
We'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
But so, guys, just kind of give you a heads up. We're going to take some questions from you guys really soon. And I think the best way to take the questions will be just post them in the Reddit thread in the comments. I think the stream chat's going to be too crazy, and we're not going to take callers. No way in hell. So go ahead and post your questions here. And we'll start answering them. Why don't we start doing that now, since we spent a lot of time on the last two subjects. Good stuff, though, man. Definitely a good discussion.
Oh, right. Axeltos is pretty mad at the no callers.
Of course he is. Let's see. Where are some of these questions? So Destiny just recently started using a schedule for the streams. His thoughts on how it's going so far, I guess a schedule, and any new content he's hoping to do more of, and he has building PCs, SE2, that sort of thing. So how's the schedule going? How's the streaming schedule going for you, man?
I made the mistake, and I opened up this thread, and I read some total fucking idiot who made a comment, and I just want to, like, blast the shit out of him. I'm not going to. Could you repeat the question one more time? I'm sorry. I'm so mad
nice,
right now.
Nice, man. What is it, then?
If I made a post, some guy is an idiot in this thread, and he's saying stupid shit, you know, like normal, and this is why nice things can't happen. Just to touch on what you said, nobody goes into esports for money. What kind of a fucking idiot do you have to be to expect people to dedicate all these hours a day into entertaining you and expect that nobody goes into esports looking to make any money at all? Like, how fucking naive, how much of a child do you have to be to expect that you can sit in front of your computer that your mom and dad bought you and the internet connection that your college pays for and to watch that 6 hours a day and expect that none of the people that provide you with any entertainment should expect to get any kind of money at all? Like, come on, like, grow the fuck up. I'm talking about IRL Sinister, who has 542 posts on Team Liquid. You can suck a dick, man. How immature and entitled do you have to be to have that kind of an attitude? I'm sorry. Okay, go back to the question. I'm not going to read any more of that when we're doing this. I'm sorry.
That's fine. It wouldn't be a show with you unless, you know, without star raids. No, just talking about just how you came up with a schedule, I guess, for streaming recently, how that's going, and any new content that you're planning in the near future, like building PCs and that sort of thing.
Well, the anchor to my schedule is the 12 to 8. I'm trying to play League every day. I wasn't today because the League servers are down, but I try to do League from 12 to 8 every day just so that I can, like, build around an actual schedule. After League, I'll play some other game, whether it's Heart of the Swarm on some days, Bioshock Infinity on other days, or putting together a computer on other days. But the 12 to 8 is just my big anchor. I'm just trying to get a more solid time down so that people know when they can find me online or when to watch me or...
Right.
Just so it's not as regular as it used to be.
It's definitely good. I know, that's definitely a good thing. Let's see. Okay, a lot of questions coming in. Yes, here's a good one. How do you feel about your extremist fan base? Or maybe the extremist in your fan base. How about that?
It sucks, but I mean, every fan base has extremists. There's not much that I can do about it. I typically speak against them. Whenever I get the opportunity to, I'm never in support of the people who are extremists. I'm sure Idra feels the same way. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Day9 feels the same way. I'm sure Grubby feels the same way. Nobody likes extreme fanboys, ever. I appreciate the people that are my fans, but the ones that go around, you know, when those threads used to pop up and be like, oh, Destiny, he would probably beat Stefano like 4-1 in a series, like, very easily, just because he's so innovative and shit, and it's like come on, like, and then all these people start arguing, like, Destiny really thinks that he can beat Stefano. It's like, I never fucking said that, like, that's my fucking fanboys, like, I can't control everything they say, you know, so, like, I mean, that kind of stuff kind of sucks, but there's not too much you can do about it, so I don't, like, I'm not losing sleep over, God, what are these people saying about me online, you know, every night.
Right. Okay, here's one from Crazy SYD. Steven, you've recently been taken off your Pleeb chat and going to sub chat and Twitch during your games. Do you think that might hurt your viewership long term? If you continue doing
the chat has a very minimal impact on viewership. Hold on. For larger streams, the chat has a very minimal impact on viewership. Typically, the chats are toxic as fuck. Nobody really cares about them. My chat's, I guess, a little bit different because I work really hard to build a lot of relationships with the people in there, but a lot of chats are just, like, really spammy, blah, 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 blah. I don't think that the quality of the chat influences much more than a few hundred people to decide whether or not they would or wouldn't watch a stream,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
I think very few people turn on a stream. Like, I don't think Voyboy gets 40,000 viewers because his chat is so nice, or I don't think Day9 gets 10,000 viewers on a daily because his chat is so good, you know?
Okay, Nathaniel's got a question. Destiny, for someone committed to streaming a game like StarCraft, what do you think is more important for holding a viewer base? The amount of time streaming or placing the stream time to avoid primetime content?
That's a good question. Both of those are very, very, very important. You have to keep in mind what times you stream. For instance, like I'm pretty sure I've even talked to you about it before. Like, if you're going to try to start a show and you're going to put the show at the exact same time as, like, the GSL finals or, like, the Day9 interview daily or, like, the...
Day9
or, like, right next to Inside the Game or something like that. Like, that's really bad. Like, don't do that.
How about between The Good Show and Inside the Game?
The Good Show and Inside the Game?
That's exactly where CTL has been. That's where we're moving.
I mean, I don't know. I like to, if you're going to do shit like that, I like to piggyback on the end of popular shows. For example, let's say there's a show that always ends at 6 o'clock and you know it always gets 10,000 viewers and your content is kind of similar to that. I would put my show, I would start my show like 5 to 10 minutes before that show ends so that as soon as that show ends, you have the possibility of picking up that large crowd of people. You can position shows and streams like that to draw on audiences like that very easily. Because typically when one show ends, they don't just disperse into nothingness. A lot of those people will dissipate into other streams, you know? Yeah, you'll see that anytime you see people quit streaming, big streamers quit streaming, all of those viewers will disperse to other streams. Like, they don't just disappear, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things I wish a lot more people would do, and, you know, we try to do on CTL sometimes, and actually the good studio guys have been great enough to help me out with it sometimes, is, mm-hmm. you know, to send people. You know, like, when we're about done with the show, we should do it too. Like, let's send folks somewhere, you know, and, you know, just recommend something.
That. Don't do it.
Why?
It's competition, man. You don't want to feed people. What if you start giving some guy a whole bunch of views and he decides he wants to move up an earlier hour slot and compete with you? Man, you just screwed yourself up.
Well, it's a different person after each show. I wouldn't be doubling enough. It's just goodwill. Come on, man. It's goodwill, dude. It's like,
I do it sometimes. But yeah, if you want to, you can do that.
But let's see. Next question. Oh, well, you know, the whole thing about just how often, you know, just how consistent you stream. I mean, just streaming every day, how much better is streaming every day versus like 4 days a week? You know, like, I mean, I guess how big of a drop off is it? Like every day you don't stream in a week. You're reading another troll right now, aren't you, you bastard?
I got a warning from the TL bot. God damn it.
Did you?
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Could you ask one more time? I'm not going to read that monitor. I'm turning that monitor off right now. There we go. Okay, the monitor's off. God, all right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Dick, man. So, I guess, how much of a drop-off is it from streaming every day versus, like, streaming 5 days a week or 3 days a week?
The more you stream, the better, in my opinion, especially if you're just starting off. You've got to put a lot of content out there. If somebody sees that you stream all the time, it's just an easier thing. People are creatures of habit. If they can turn on the same stream over and over again, or if they've been to it before and they see it up, you've got a much higher chance of capturing a new audience by streaming more often, because you open yourself up, you're more vulnerable to other people checking you out.
Right.
If you only stream like every Wednesday and you have a certain type of personality that a lot of people who watch streams on Thursday or Friday or Saturday might like, they're never going to see you and they're never going to even notice it, you know? Mm-hmm. There might be something that you do. You might have like a hook, you know? Like for me, my hook is probably my comedy. Like, or like my analogies are pretty funny, you know? So the more that I stream and the more that I'm putting that part of my personality out there, or the cool music that I listen to, or whatever shit like that, the more that that's out there, the higher the chance that somebody will wander by my stream, see it, and then archive that in the future. Like, oh, fuck, this guy's pretty funny. You know, like, I'll bookmark the stream. Maybe I'll check it out later, you know? The longer that I stream, and the more that I stream, and the more that I have that exposed to me, the more flies that I can capture, you know, that will wander in and see it. If you only stream a little bit, you're limiting your exposure, you know?
Yep. No, got it. Stream every day, basically.
Yeah.
Submitting asks, at what point do you stop promoting yourself and just let the hype carry you from there? Or in other words, at what point can you just be lazy?
You can be lazy whenever you want. Whenever you've decided that you don't want to grow your fan base anymore is when you can start being lazy. I've been pretty lazy over the past few months because I haven't felt the need to grow it too much because I've been focusing on League. But the second that you start becoming lazy, the second that you're going to start to fall off. Mm. Or not fall off, but just stagnate, which is the equivalent to falling off in such a quickly growing industry, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Very, very true. Let's see. Lots of questions coming in. Here, you look at the red thread too, man. Just pick any question you want here. There's just a lot of them, so.
Okay, got it.
Do you prefer 4chan or Reddit?
Both of them are very similar, and either person that tells you either from either area is completely fucking wrong. That's true, man. Anybody that actually posts a lot on the SC2 gens or the fucking LOL gens and spends a lot of time in SC Reddit or the League of Legends subreddit will tell you that the communities that go to both are exactly the same. The only people that fucking think that they're completely different are these freaking new fags that think that they can come in and they have like a secret club like nobody's ever heard of like the VG threads. Like, fucking come on, dude. It's fucking 2013. Everybody knows who it is. You don't even need you don't even need 4chanX as a plugin to like browse the threads anymore because fucking Moot's updated so much of that shit. Like everybody, anybody that can go to visit either one if they want. Both of them are pretty similar.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. See, Unknown Entity asks, do either you or Destiny think that, I guess me, think that we will be seeing some sort of 24/7 network streams on Twitch with constant content being put out? Similar to One More Game or The Good Studio, but constantly streamed with diversified content. So I guess like channels, like will we see these types of things?
Okay, so I touched on this a little bit earlier, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit again, okay? So I don't know, I'm sure that there's like an economist out there that can give you an exact formula for how this works, but there's something where you can oversaturate a market with your content and it causes them to become indifferent or hostile towards it, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I first started getting popular, there was a huge hump that I had, or a huge peak that I hit to where like literally you could go to the StarCraft subreddit and there would be 5 or 6 of the front page things would be about me, like literally, because people saw something funny with Destiny and it's so funny, blah, blah, blah. Yep. It's really hard as a person, but you cannot saturate content. You cannot saturate a market with that much content because eventually they will become indifferent to it and hostile towards it. I guess the biggest implementation you would see in this is like in the StarCraft Reddit or in any Reddit anywhere. You see, you've always got the circle jerks, and then after the circle jerks stop, you get the anti-circle jerks. It's a phenomenon that happens every single day. You'll see the circle jerks come in, circle jerks will go away, and then the anti-circle jerks, you know, like, oh my god, Day 9 is so funny, he's really funny, I like his stream, blah, blah, blah. And then, oh my god, Day 9 is so stupid, it's so fake, it's casting sucks, blah, 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 blah. Or, oh my god, InControl is so funny, oh my god, we've got all these threads, show InControl some love. Oh my god, he tries so hard, blah, 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 blah. Like, the circle jerks come in, the circle jerks go out. You can't explain that, you know? You can't explain that, though. Like, you can't... If you throw way too much content at somebody and you fucking oversaturate it, eventually people get immune to it, and then they just, like, don't want it anymore. So, yeah. I talked about that a little bit earlier in the streaming thing with tournaments, because like MLG has a fucking tournament stream on 24/7. I ignore it. Like, I mentally filter it. Whenever I see an IPL or an MLG stream on, I just ignore it immediately because they're streaming all the time, you know. And I would worry that a 24/7 content stream would like would end up the same way, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends if it's the same content every day, right? I mean,
if they have like if it's like a TV station where they got like scheduled content, like that would be cool. But then at that point, it's pretty much just a normal stream. It might be on all the time, but people are still only turning in for individual shows. You know, there wouldn't be anything different between that and me leaving my webcam on 24/7 and just coming on to stream from 12 to 8. You know?
Yeah, but it would give, you know, at least a centralized place. So I mean, you could get stragglers. You know, you could get extra viewers because of, you know. You know, we talked about just people kind of funneling in from, like, you know, a show before, right? Starting 5 minutes, you know, overlap.
Oh,
I mean, you're going to get much more of that, right? I mean...
Oh, never mind. I understand. Actually, yeah. that would be a really, 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 really cool idea, actually, now that mm-hmm. I think about it and all the possible implications that
yeah,
could
come
from...
if you didn't have to switch streams... I mean, imagine if, like CTL right now is between yep. the good show.
No,
if I was on the good show, like...
Yeah.
I mean, it's like...
Or, hey, like, stay tuned, guys. Like, I'm going to be done streaming, but, you know, like, right after me is going to be this guy. And, like, it would just pop right over. They
yeah,
would have to switch streams.
Like, it's kind of like Day 9 does the After Hours Gaming League, kind of like that sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
That would be really cool. That would be really cool, actually. I would love to see something like that.
Yeah, I knew a couple guys that were doing, like, websites that was basically doing that with an embedded stream. And it would, you know, you just basically, I forget, it was like Cyber Sports, not Net Cyber Sports Network. It's like I can't remember it now, God. But basically, that was what it was. It was just like this schedule that would have an embedded Twitch, you know, Twitch player in it, and then it would automatically switch for you. Like after the show was done, then it would switch
uh-huh.
the other person's channel. So it was a destination.
Oh, sure.
So
that's kind
cool.
of okay, mm-hmm. but you've got to be careful there because I don't know how popular that would get. One of the biggest... Okay, so like this is like a random thing. It ties in a lot of what we said earlier. I just want to... Real fast. One of the biggest things that I always ask everybody, because everybody always has a new idea, blah, 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 mm-hmm. and I see this time and time again. These threads always pop up in the StarCraft subreddit where somebody's like, hey, I have this idea. You guys tell me what it's like. And everybody in the thread is always like, oh my god, it's a really good idea. Like, you should go through with it, blah, 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 blah. You should always ask yourself, what's gonna draw people to my product over the competition, you know?
Yeah,
every single time somebody makes a new fucking website that tracks players or tracks teams, blah, 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 like, like, just ask them, like, be real honest with yourself and say, like, why would I ever visit your site over Team Liquid, you know? And then usually it's, well, I have, like, And it's like, yeah, like, there's no reason. Like, no one is ever going to go to your website over Team Liquid. Like, pick something else. Pick a different idea to work on.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that that's... So, like, whenever people start talking about creating entirely different websites to host streams and stuff on, like, you can, but your competition is Twitch. Like, that's going to be really hard. Or, like, Team Liquid or SoloMed or these really huge stream archives. Like, it's not impossible, but, like, there have been people that have tried it a lot and failed really hard. I'm looking at you, well played, unfortunately. But like, you know, like, it happens where people think that, like, I'm going to make this thing. I don't care that there's a competition. Well, you have to give somebody a damn good reason to visit your site over the competition if you're going to do that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, I'm an advocate of people trying, so definitely do it. But yeah, it's fair to have to, you know, make an honest assessment of whether you think it's going to be successful or not. No, it'd be pretty cool if, you know, Team Liquid actually did it, right? I mean, that's the most obvious, break, you know, candidate for something like this, so, given that they have a calendar already, you know what I mean?
I would like to see somebody else do it. I would like to see somebody else take the advice that I just told them not to do and actually do it. I think it would be cooler. I prefer decentralization as much as possible because having a centralized body is very fucking scary. It's not scary for me anymore, thankfully, because I'm bigger than that now. But humble brag. I'm bigger than that now, so it doesn't bother me as much. But sites like SoloMid or Team Liquid can, like, make or break your entire career. So, like, let's say you're somebody who's had some problems in the past, and you have a relatively successful YouTube channel, and there are a lot of people that think you're funny or like you. If Team Liquid doesn't like you, you're fucked, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, that's a real example. Like, that's Combat X, you know? Combat X had no career in all of StarCraft 2 because Team Liquid didn't like him, and he was like, and Team Liquid is, like, the deciding factor on, are you going to make it in Team Liquid? Because if they don't like you, none of your shit's getting hosted on their website. You have no viewers. You're completely fucked. That's a really scary reality, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a marketing channel. I mean, it's basically the only marketing channel right now. I mean, if he was banned from the forums and stuff, I mean, that wouldn't matter, honestly, that much. It's just the fact that, you know, the stream was banned. Yeah, they won't let you stream and that sort of thing, But I don't know. I feel like Combat X is a different story too because he was hated by everybody too. You know, for the most part.
Yeah, sure, so a little bit. But like, he worked really hard on trying to reform his personality and whatnot. It didn't matter. Like Team Liquid. It's just, and it's also, there might be a market for people that like to watch that kind of thing. So is it really? Yeah. And these are just opinions at this point. But like, you have to ask yourself, is it really Team Liquid's job to decide who we should or shouldn't be able to watch? Because that's the decision they make when it comes to like featuring people. When it comes to banning somebody from the website, like, you think, like, nobody likes Deezer or Combat X, maybe there are some people that would like to watch him, but they're never going to hear about him because he's banned from Team Liquid.
Well, yeah, Reddit. I mean, Reddit, you could still mark in Reddit. I mean,
Reddit has gotten a lot more popular, but it's not the same as having a featured thread on Team Liquid. Nobody wants to have to make a thread every single time they're streaming. You know, people get really tired. There's another content saturation thing where you'll see, like, 2 days in a row, people will make threads like, dude, check out the streamer, and people will like it, and then the third day it'll happen, and people are like, why the fuck do you post a thread every time he streams? No one cares. Stop posting this shit. Blah, blah, blah.
No, no, it's true. Very true. Definitely true. All right, let me find another question. Shit, I wasn't looking. long-term investment. Okay, so it says, why do you consider League of Legends a long-term investment but not SC2? You said that you were Kodesh, you would garner 10 to 15,000 viewers. Wouldn't SC2 be just as much? Oh, well, I think we kind of know the answer to that because the top side is much higher than 10 to 15K.
If I was the best, if I was a Kodesh StarCraft 2 streamer, I'd probably have 10 to 15,000 viewers. If I was an LCS final player for League of Legends, I would have like 50,000 viewers. Like, that's the difference.
Yeah, Snoopy gets like 30,000 to 40,000. Like,
regularly. Yeah, he's got like that much right now. Yeah, and Boy gets like 30,000 to 40,000.
Yeah,
people don't realize that those guys literally are bringing in over $1,000 every single day on streaming.
Yeah,
you could. I could buy a brand new Mustang every month and still pay my bills and still have enough left over to do whatever. I could buy a new car every single month with that kind of money. Like, it's an insane amount of money that they make.
Hey, you're not helping SC2 streamers, dude. Shut up.
Sorry.
So do you keep up with the League of Legends esports scene?
Nah, I've never kept up with any esports, man. I read threads and I read the Reddits and all that, and I kind of keep up with that kind of stuff. But I'm not a big. I still suck too much to like start copying tournament builds and shit. So
well,
I just
not really copying it, just really following the scene. Like one of the questions is about Chaox, right? Getting TSM dropping Chaox and that sort of
thing. Yeah, yeah. I've heard a lot about that.
Okay, let's see. Oh, that is a good question. If you would win the lottery, would you continue streaming?
Even if I won the lottery, I'd probably keep streaming for a bit because I like the attention. I'm a big attention whore. I mean, I would probably do it because I'm lucky in that I actually have a lot of fun doing it, so I would probably stream. Maybe not as rigorously as I do now, and I'd probably goof off a lot more. Like, I wouldn't be grinding so much of a certain game, like League of Legends. I'd probably have a lot more variety in my games and whatnot. Right. Or maybe I would actually get even more hardcore into gaming. I think that I could manage a pro team better than 99% of the people that do it now. That sounds really arrogant to say, but I'll say it because I see so many people fuck it up so horribly. I think that I could manage a pro team better than most other people.
Okay, so that leads into the next question. Would you start a new team?
Yeah, if I had the money to, I would love to. But I would have to stop playing to actually manage it. There's, like, of all the team owners that I've ever seen, I think, like, Total Biscuit, sorry. Like, Total Biscuit and Sir Scoots are, like, some of the only people that I've seen that, like, really have their shit together when it comes to... And Sir Scoots left EG, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing
it right now. Aside from TB and Sir Scoots, like, I don't know, like, it seems like everybody else makes a lot of shit up to go along in a really bad way. But...
I mean... How so? TV obviously just recently started a team, you know, with Jenna.
Failing hardcore on the marketing side, not keeping up on the player side.
But he already had this huge following, so they have, it's like a completely different model. Is that what you mean? I mean,
yeah. Well, no, actually, just... I mean, I could be wrong. I give TB a lot of credit just because of everything that he's done so far. But I mean, like, it seems
he's
like
awesome. Don't get me wrong. He's awesome.
Yeah, hopefully TB, like, he made a lot of good player pickups, and hopefully he's pushing the marketing side more. Although, I guess it's not really that fair of an example, but I mean, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong, he's doing some cool things. It's just, I think that them starting Axiom is a completely different place than everybody else for the most part, because, I mean, it's one of the rare times that somebody's, you know, with a giant following already, you know, can...
Sure. I give a lot of credence to him right away also because he's a lot more transparent and he's a lot more readily available. If you want to know what Total Biscuit thinks about something, you probably know what he thinks about it.
He tweets,
fuck, he tweets so much. but yeah, like if you're on Twitter or you follow his YouTube or you see like the speeches and stuff that he gives on when he's on radio shows, or not radio shows, but like these shows or whatnot, so...
Right. You looking at EG's...
EG is going to have so much problem if they keep picking up players and having those players fall off. Dude, EG Jadong is like, this is like the saddest shit in the universe.
If I were to
show myself a video of this shit fucking 10 years ago, I would be crying. I would cry myself to sleep. I would have quit Brood War. I would have picked up Warcraft 3. I would have become a Grubby fan. Holy fuck, this is some
shit. Oh, that's cool.
You can, not to bash Grubby fan. I was trying to bash Grubby fans. But, my god, this is some sad shit.
Some sad shit, you mean just like...
You can't keep buying talent like that, man. You have to foster... You don't have to foster talent, but you have to have some kind of sustainable model in place. You don't just send... Like, people in Korea aren't good at games because they're fucking Korean or because it's in their blood or because they eat a lot of rice. They're good because, like... The average Korean team is, you have, like, the A team that's really good, and then you have the B team, okay, that all live in the same house. Yeah. That the B team are better than every other foreigner in the fucking world. The B team could take first or second place at MLGs if the A team Koreans weren't there, okay? So you have these houses set up where you've got these A team players who are practicing all day, fucking 10 hours a day. Not, when I say all day, I don't mean, like, 4 hours, like, every day, and then, like, 7 hours some days. I mean, like, all day, 9 to 11 hours a day, all practicing with other really good players, with all the B teamers all the time. That's why the Koreans are so fucking good. You can't just send people off to Korea and expect that if they play a bit, like, they're gonna get really good. Like, you have to have that whole culture that has to exist. I don't want to use the word culture, but
picking up the players individually was you know, a tough, obviously, a step that you could question. But now, you know, they just hired Coach Park, right? And
coaches don't do anything.
I'm not saying that you should, but if you're going to try to emulate the Korean, you know, the Korean structure for practice houses, you know, just houses and teams, then, you know, I think they're headed in the right direction now if they're going to, you know, hire basically a very notable coach
For them to be in the right direction, they have to be in houses where there are other players to play with constantly that are all really fucking good, that are willing to play a lot. If you're only going to play for 4 to 6 hours a day, you're never going to be as good as a Korean ever. You just won't. You will never get that. You just won't. Why would you write that you as a person could ever be as good as somebody that plays 10 hours a day with other people who are really good all the time, and you only play 4 to 6 hours a day, and half of it you spend streaming the NA ladder? How are you ever going to be as good as a Korean like that? You'll never be that good. You know, like, you're delusional if you think you are. Not you personally, because I know that you practice.
No, I mean, it's true, but that's why a lot of them are over there now, right? And they just picked up some more Korean players, and...
Final was never good as the top tier Koreans. Come on, guys. Like, maybe he was, like, really, really, really good at one point in time to where fucking, like, he, because of the Infestor Broodlord and how strong Zerg was. And he was a really smart player, but he didn't practice just 2 hours a day. Stefano was putting in a lot of practice, and Stefano was coming back from Korea because he decided that he can't compete there. So why would you use him as an example of somebody who was able to conquer it by only playing a few hours a day? Even if all of that was, and he did manage to, that is one outlier, okay? Using Stefano as your golden example is like saying Bill Gates dropped out of college, so now everybody should drop out of college to become a famous businessman. That's unrealistic, it's stupid, it's immature, and it's a totally fucking delusional viewpoint of the world.
Okay,
sorry.
So for first off, I never said Stefano.
Speaking
of Stefano, though, I think he is an outlier. I think obviously hearing the news that he was going to quit in 6 months.
He's always practiced a lot more than people say. For some reason,
I know he did. But he still doesn't. Like, he still didn't practice the amount of like a Korean. You know.
But he had a big upswing. But he really hasn't done too much as of recently, has he? Unless I've missed a lot.
No, I mean not of late. But I think it has a lot to do with his personality, though. I don't think that environment is good for him, and. You know, I've never been completely convinced that the right practice, you know, environment for foreigners is a Korean practice, you know, like that kind of regiment. I don't know what it is, but I've never been completely convinced that was, you know, right. I mean, just somebody hasn't thought it up yet.
It's just this is what I view it as. You have a group of people that are all training 9 to 10 hours a day, every day. Maybe they take a break on Sundays, but... And when StarTail, they never did. They all played pretty much every day. They were a little bit more lax on the weekends, but for the most part, 9 to 10 hours every day of playing. They're all bouncing ideas off of them, playing customs with other people in the house for those 9 to 10 hours every single day. And when they're laddering on a server that's very, very, very hard to ladder on, okay? And when they finish their ladder games, they bounce ideas off of those very good B-teamers. That's why the Koreans win games. It's because of that. It's not because they're Korean. It's not because they eat kimchi. It's not because they've got hairier dicks. It's because... They are in that environment always. It's because they're in that environment always. Foreigners, like, take Team EG. You pay a guy a bunch of money, you move him into a house, you don't have that huge infrastructure of all the B-teamers and stuff to play custom games with. They're laddering on a shit-tier ladder. They don't even play as much. Where's the edge? Tell me, like, what do you see there that's going to make the foreigner win? Like, what do you see there that's going to set a foreigner up for success against Koreans?
No, I agree. You know, I think the Phoenix House, I mean, I think even Alex, you know, kind of mentioned that on the Pulse recently. And I think, you know, they're doing something different with the Korean House over there, right? And they're starting to at least try to create that over there, because they've seen it. You know, we've seen the results in Pro League. I mean, everybody's seen it. It's not good. It's bad. So, you know, they are trying to do something about it, trying to remedy about it. Like, so can other teams outside of EG and maybe TL do it? I don't know about that. You know, I don't know if they have
Complexity tries to. Complexity tries to with that Complexity Academy, which is kind of a cool idea, but I don't know if they're pushing it hard enough.
Game Academy is nothing. That's not even close to that. They don't even have, I mean, their A-teamers,
I'm trying to be positive, man. Remember, don't be a barking wolf or whatever they said. A boy who cries wolf, sorry. I'm just trying to be positive, man. Complexity tries a little bit, so I mean, like, that's kind
of
good.
I know they do. There are a lot of teams. I mean, all the teams are trying. Come on, let's just be real. I mean, you know, Axiom's doing some things too. You know, they got the whole house over there too. And they have, you know, they've been joining forces with Acer too to kind of put a team together. But yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things that I think we'll see is just really the practice environments for the foreign teams. I mean, to really keep up now, all the Kespa players are here now too. It's going to be, it's going to be even more of a challenge for the foreigners. And, you know, I'm hoping that they figure out a formula that really, really works, you know, that's not as good. I mean, some of the, honestly, just physically, some of them, they just can't handle it. I mean, we see all the more and more wrist injuries these days. So, you know, I'm just hoping to see that there's another regiment. Somebody can come up with a very successful regiment that's more suitable for the foreigners. All right, let's see. Let's take a few more questions, and then we'll wrap this puppy up. Let's see. Alex or Axelsauce just keeps telling me he's... I don't see you posting a question, man. I can't give you favoritism, man. You gotta post it in the red thread. Let's see. Other than microtransactions... Oh, man, we could talk about that forever. What can Blizzard do to boost player base?
Shit
is right. Do you... Okay, here's a good question. Do you see MOBA games taking over esports? Or do you think that... I'll kind of rephrase this question just to make it more interesting. Do you see the MOBA games dominating and having to compete against each other for the viewers versus just genres competing against each other, like MOBAs versus RTS versus FPS?
Right now, I see Riot and Dota, or I see Riot and Steam taking over esports, not MOBAs. They happen to have MOBAs, but that's not the reason why they're dominating esports. I don't think Dota was ever a threat to StarCraft. I don't think Han was ever a threat to StarCraft 2, but League of Legends and Dota 2 are becoming threats to other esports. Not because of the type of game or the genre of the game or the game itself, but because of how the game is designed and marketed towards capturing a casual player base and keeping them interested in playing the game. I said Valve, didn't I? Or I said Steam. Fuck, I'm sorry, Steam. I said Steam. I meant Valve. You know what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's going to be... I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. It's going to be interesting once Dota 2 starts really, you know, kind of getting a lot more steam, and I'm really interested to see how they kind of compete against each other.
I love it. If Dota 2 becomes popular, it's the best thing for everybody, because the competition that will come between, between Valve and Riot will be awesome to see all of the new little things that will be implemented as a result. Like, that's some cool shit. I would love to see that. My fear, well, I say it as a fear, a lot of you say I'm happy about it, is that StarCraft 2 will just be blown completely in the dust, because Blizzard is so slow to adapt or to change anything of their model when it comes to managing anything, as opposed to Riot, Valve, you know? Like, Riot had lag problems with their game in a tournament, and they made a LAN client that night for it, and then, like, used it for the rest of the tournament. Like, shit like that, like, Blizzard would never fucking do, you know? So it's
I wouldn't say they would never do, right? So, I mean...
They would, but only if we were teetering on the brink of a nuclear apocalypse. Not even! Only if we were partially into the nuclear apocalypse would Blizzard ever, you know, think about...
Okay,
like,
now you're exaggerating.
I'm not exaggerating, though!
It's true! I mean, the thing is, like, you don't even...
In order to use, like, the Blizzard LAN client, you have to have, like, armed security guards and whatnot. Like, Sundance is another person who, when I hear him talk, I feel like he actually knows his shit. And it's a big compliment coming from me, because I feel like a lot of people don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Sundance, I feel like he knows what he's talking about. So Sundance has this whole MLG business model that he has to protect, and even he thought it wasn't an economically feasible investment to pay for the security that Blizzard requires to guard the LAN client. Like, what does that tell you about Blizzard's LAN client? Like,
The thing is like, I feel like there's a lot of information that we don't have. Right? So for me, you know,
then earlier, like fucking like this is something I went off on yesterday, the whole like perception is reality. Like, that's not an acceptable answer for a company that literally lives in the marketing realm. Video game companies live because the people like them and the people buy their games. We don't have all the information. Like, if you were like the CIA or the NSA or something like that, like, that's cool. Like, you can keep shit under wraps and stuff as long as the public doesn't find out, because you get your funding from the federal government. Blizzard and Blizzard Activision gets their funding from the public. Like, we have to know that shit. Like, that's important for us to know. It's not an acceptable excuse for a AAA developer.
But what I'm saying, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that. I think it's a lot harder to... I mean, they do have that LAN client that people have been talked about, you know...
I don't believe that shit either, that it's harder to do. They did it with StarCraft before, they did it with Diablo 2. People said that shit.
They did all that stuff with the Diablo 2, but they didn't write this Battle.net 2.0 that's the framework for all these damn games now. You know,
it's a framework, and it just, like, what does the server actually do with StarCraft 2? You send commands to the server, it checks it to make sure you're not hacking, and then it sends the command back.
So you're just simplifying things. You don't actually know. That's a thing.
No, but, okay, let's think about it for a second, okay? Okay, this is like, tell me, you said you're an engineer, okay? This is what I think happens. You have two computers, okay? You've got two computers, and you've got a server. The server emulates StarCraft 2. It doesn't even have to worry about graphics processing. You send the command off to it, the other guy sends the commands off, it checks to make sure there's no bullshit, like somebody hacking, and then it sends the commands back. That's all it is. It's like a fucking... fucking, like, what, packet checking, or I don't even know what you would call it. Like, that's all it fucking does. There, we don't, you don't send off, like, really complicated, like, for instance, if you were doing folding at home, and you were getting, like, these huge algorithms back for, like, gene sequencing, and somebody were to tell me, you can't do that on your computer, you need the server to do that, I would believe that. I would believe that, because, damn, those are probably really complicated calculations that are being, like, cloud-sourced or sourced to some huge processor. But StarCraft 2, like, fuck no, like, I can run the campaign on my computer, I can play games offline, StarCraft Brood War ran offline, Diablo 2 could run offline, fucking FPS games run offline, they run on locally hosted bullshit, like Call of Duty and all that, that all runs without a server being needed. Like, you're honestly gonna tell me, as a software designer, you're gonna tell me that it's impossible to fucking locally emulate the Battle.net server, or anything like that, or to just make it so that you don't need it at all to play a game between two people? I don't believe that.
Is it impossible? No, of course it's not impossible. But I just think, I'm just telling you, I think it's a more complex than you think. And not that they can't do it. Hey, you can call, dude, I mean, I love how the chat's calling me Blizzard fanboy. You can call me a fanboy all you want, dude, but I'm telling you, like, we had this discussion, like, months ago. I mean, you know what I mean? It's
EA recently trying to shove it down our throats that we needed fucking, we need a fucking server to handle your SimCity bullshit. And in 2 days, people reverse engineered the game. These guys don't even have the source. They're not even software engineers. In their free time, people reverse engineered enough of the game to make offline Sims, offline Sims 4.
Okay, think of it from this standpoint, Steven. Why wouldn't they do it? If it was super easy, as you talked about, why wouldn't they?
Because worried that their business model is threatened. It's an anti-piracy. It's just DRM.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. Sure.
But like that anti-DRM approach is kind of fucking over the tournament world, which is strange. Like, why is Blizzard going to get involved in tournaments when tournaments are historically unprofitable, and Blizzard as a company kind of fucks over the tournament scene by protecting their own sales model with DRM? Like, isn't that kind of weird? Like, I don't know. Sorry, we got off really far off on this.
No, it's valid. It's valid. It's definitely valid. Okay, one more question, guys. One more.
Oh my god! What? I can't believe that they said D3 is going to be released for consoles with offline mode. What the fuck? Offline only on D3. Do you know what that means?
Yes,
you
know, yes, I know what that means. Jesus
that
Christ.
Means that we paid $60 for a beta test of a project that was going to launch to a console market of an alpha test because it wasn't even featured complete on the auction house or PvP. We paid $60 for an alpha test of the game. It's gonna launch on consoles with more features. What the fuck? Sorry, I'm done. Okay, now we're done for real.
Oh,
all right,
God.
We're done.
All right. Let's see. One more. Here's a good. Okay, a default Stew01. Here's a good question. Would you continue to stream when you're 40, 50 years old? Would you want to be a Grandpa Sir or Grandpa Gary?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I would like to stream for as long as I possibly can. But I don't know, like, if, like, the wrist thing will hurt me, or if, like, you know, arthritis and all that shit. I don't know how long it'll last. If I can make a fuck ton of money now, I can bank enough such that I don't have to worry about streaming for financial, you know, success. And there's a lot of other stuff in the realm that I can do, like casting or stuff like that, that's not necessarily streaming. So, I don't know. It's kind of hard to... Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I don't think I could. I don't think I could do these shows when I'm 50 years old. Who knows, though? It's not that far away.
Oh, boy.
But all right, man.
I'd ask your viewers how old they think you are. Are you comfortable with that?
Huh? Ask them? Sure, you can ask them. They've been watching CTL. Everybody knows how old I am, I think.
Really? I never knew how old you were. I was surprised.
I can't believe you don't know how old I am, given that we've done so much shit together.
I couldn't even believe it. I honestly thought you were in your early 20s.
Everybody thinks that.
Tell your stream how old you are. How young you are, sorry.
How young I am? I am 37.
Damn. That Asian.
Dude,
this
I
is what people
kids.
Talk
I
about.
I told you,
man.
I got three kids. And
when you talk about how Asian people never age, and they always look young, this is what they're talking about.
It's all that pearl cream, dude.
I guess.
But, Steven, man, great show. We're going to be doing this. We're going to try to do it every week, right? Or semi every week? I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
We're going to kind of play it, you know, not really play it by ear, but it's going to be kind of a gradual process. Like, the TL thread will get much more fancier and stuff. It's kind of something we'll just kind of gradually work on. But definitely the show will be, you know, a lot like today, you know, every time we do it. And, you know, it's going to just be different subjects around the industry, kind of like streaming today. And I don't know, sometimes it'll be about a particular game, maybe sometimes, but in general, it'll just be a lot of interesting discussions. And, you know, it's been great seeing you guys typing in chat and all the questions, and hopefully you guys enjoyed it. But want to do some shout-outs, man?
Thanks to Phoenix Collections. I use their mouse and their mousepad. It's pretty cool. And thanks to myself for being so wonderful. Thanks to you for having me on your show.
Nice, nice.
Check out OBS, the streaming software, if you haven't already. OBS is awesome.
They sponsor you.
No, but I pimped the shit out of their product. The first time that I used OBS, I spent all night rechecking everything on my computer because I thought that I was missing something because my results from that program were so absolutely unbelievably real. It, like, didn't make sense at all. Like, to go from having trouble streaming 1080p at 30 frames per second to being able to stream 720p, 60fps flawlessly, and then 1080p, 60fps flawlessly without even using a capture card, unbelievable.
I kind of went through the same thing. That's why I didn't run Wednesday Night Express last night on it, because it's kind of crazy.
Unbelievable performance games over XSplit. It's funny, because if you go to the XSplit forums, all the developers are always post like, we've been trying the same benchmarks, and I don't know what you guys are talking about. It appears that the program performs exactly like XSplit. And it's like, oh, man. No, it's so much better. But, sorry, okay.
Cool. My shout-outs, just shout-outs to my mods, if they were able to even keep up in the stream chat today. Obviously, shout-out to you, Steven, for doing the show with me, and... I think that's going to be about it. I mean, the VOD's going to be available at youtube.com/chanmanv right after this. And, you know, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/chanmanv. Follow, obviously, Steven on Twitter, twitter.com/Steven
_ Bonnell. Just go to destiny.gg and all my stuff's in the above corner. I'll link my thing in stream. This is like the little bloggy post that I did. I hate that word. But talking about a lot of stuff we did here, if you're interested
it's
in reading
linked.
It.
Why isn't it linked? Is it because of .gg or something?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, check out his blog, guys. There's a lot of good articles. Even the one previous, the whole Damsel in Distress one, was really, really good, too. I mean...
Oh, boy.
Gosh. Yeah. Oh, man. We could talk about that one forever, too. But actually, I'd agree with you too much, though. That wouldn't even be interesting. But, so...
Some Glenn Beck shows.
Yeah. All right, guys. That's going to be Unfiltered for today. We'll see you next week. Later.
Cool.